scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, fellas, knock off all that high society crap and play some of this.
1, 2, 3, 4.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I am fat, and that's how I conduct myself in this life. I'm okay. I found a woman who f***ed me. I got me a chubby chaser. And if I die early because I'm fat, that's my own fault, my choice. But I am not fat enough to eject off of a Southwest airline flight simply for size. Not yet, mother.
Hey, Tubby. Want another Pop-Tart, Tubby?
This may be kind of messed up, but am I the only one getting a boner right now?
That's garbage. That's baloney. The American people won't stand for it.
And now,
let me tell you something, sisters. Checking IDs is essential because these boys will lie.
Our feature presentation.
These boys will lie. That's true.
All boys will lie.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show, and it is a Thursday morning.
Fortunately, girls are the paragon of virtue, so we don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
No danger there. Hey, party people, I revisited the Kevin Smith tape yesterday. I was thinking about it because of the woman that we saw on the TV yesterday. Remember we were watching the Today Show yesterday? They had the big, big, big woman on there.
It was a woman probably twice his size.
Right.
Yeah.
She's back in the news, and bad news for Southwest Airlines because it's their airline again. She was told the reason she was on the Today Show, we had the sound down, but the reason she was on the Today Show is because she's the latest who gets up to the counter to get on a plane, and they say, I'm sorry, you have to buy two tickets. So,
right.
Of course, she's outraged. Southwest Airlines, by the way, after the story became public, apologized to her and refunded her ticket.
What?
Now, we saw her on the TV yesterday. And please listen to what I'm saying here, because I'm not being cruel. But she was shaped like a triangle, right? If you just saw her from the boobs up, you'd go, oh, that's a heavy woman. But if you see her full body, you go, I can't. I mean, she looks like Jabba the Hutt. It was unbelievable how much she expanded at the bottom. There's no way in a trillion years she fits in a Southwest Airlines seat, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, thinking as a flyer, too, you think, I do. I would not want to sit next to her.
I mean, you feel bad for her.
She gets half of your seat.
But you do not want to be, next to her. I mean, most passengers have to be kind of happy that they're doing that.
I can't see any way, looking at her on the TV yesterday, that she could fit in a seat with the armrest down. I just don't think it was possible. I think it was just too much. Well, here's some more of her story. Her name is Kennelly Tiggerman. She is a 30-year-old, by the way.
Wow.
How old did she look to you guys?
55 at least. Yeah.
She's a political strategist, and here's my favorite part of the whole article, weight loss blogger.
What it must be like
in New York City. She said it was humiliating being told that she was too fat to fly. It was rude. It was in front of lots of people. She said the incident happened in Dallas over Easter. She and her mother, by the way, her mother in the same boat, were told by a gate agent that they each had to purchase two tickets and that we were too fat to fly without an additional ticket. Now, part of the reason she was confused by this is because this was a return flight and they were able to fly using one seat on the way up. And she's like, if it's a policy, it's a policy. Why now? Why are you signaling me out now when I was able to fly to get here?
Nah, she's got a point
there. Yeah, of course. But like, they wouldn't be saying this if it only happened on the first leg. You know,
I was asked what size clothes, how much I weigh. I had to give answers in front of a gate full of people, some of whom were snickering. How much do you think she weighed based on seeing her on the TV?
350.
Yeah, that's a pretty good guess.
She says 268.
No way. Mm. Is she
5 feet tall?
That's from the chest up, B.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, she was bigger than many NFL players that I've seen. So, I mean, she's a big woman. Spokesperson for Southwest said if passengers cannot fit in a seat with the armrest down, a second seat must be purchased. So, I mean,
they have that rule for everything. Your suitcase, if it doesn't fit, they have to put it someplace else. I mean, they have to think about everyone else on the plane.
Well, it would be nice if they would take them someplace separate to have this.
And put them down?
I wouldn't want to answer those.
No, I don't think that's what she means.
I wouldn't want to answer those questions in front of everybody.
Would you mind stepping over here, man?
Yeah. That would be really... There have got to be better ways to do this.
Yeah.
But I support them doing it.
I think Kevin makes a great point, which is if your luggage it goes over whatever their weight limit is, 70 pounds, you have to pay more because you're bringing something heavier onto the flight. This is even a completely separate part of the discussion that doesn't involve the passenger sitting next to her and his or her comfort.
Yeah.
But just in terms of weight on the plane, it seems at some point they have to say, yeah, you can't bring on something that's that heavy without paying extra for it because it costs us more to fly it. That but just makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's true.
It's fantastic. I support them 100% in doing this. I just think, like Lisa says, maybe there's a way to do it that's a little less embarrassing. But
right, right.
I mean, I don't know how many people heard until she went on the Today Show or wherever and started complaining.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what you do is you have a buffet set up and you point the person in that direction. That way you get them away from
him.
Yeah, you get them away from where the other passengers are. Once they see the buffet, they'll race for it. And then you can just sidle up next to them while they're, you know, loading up some bacon. And you can go, hey, by the way, I need to buy an extra seat. Just make it kind of discreet.
Is it just a bacon buffet? That's all it is?
That's all you need. Get the scent of bacon going through the airport, man. This woman would follow that anywhere. You could probably get her to go outside.
The bacon spells out, you need another seat.
Right. Maybe that's the way to handle it. Nobody has to talk to her at all. It's just right there on her plate.
So it sucks. It sucks for that person. But for everybody else, I mean, look, that's the way it works. Those seats on planes specifically are not made for people that size.
No.
Right. Exactly. And what do I say to women all the time, Lisa? Just don't be fat, right? Don't I say that? Isn't that my advice?
That is what you say.
It's one of many, wonderful things you say to women.
It's why all women love you.
And it's good. It's damn good advice, by the way.
It's funny. Women do have a sixth sense where they get on an escalator or elevator, I'm sorry, with Bean and I can just, they just start eyeballing them. They're just like, something not right about that guy. I don't like him. Like, they just have that sense.
Yeah. It's like they get the hair on their arm stands up.
And they don't know why.
I don't know. It's like they smell something bad. They don't really smell something bad, but they feel like they did.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And they don't know why, and they can't put their finger on it, but they know they hate that guy.
Yeah.
Hey, why am I the bad guy here? I'm not the fat one. Come on. Why are you turning your attention away from the actual victim here?
Listen, we're agreeing with Southwest, except for there's got to be a nicer way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's just brutal to do it in front of people.
Oh, my God.
All right. Can I have your attention? They go on the speaker. Everybody, please.
Maybe that's how the airlines make some more money, is they turn it into a guessing game at the gate. Hey, how much do you guys think she weighs? And then everybody can take a guess, and then whoever's closer gets like a free voucher for a return flight.
Everybody in line B, let us know how much you think she weighs. 1,000 pounds. Yeah, they're very close to doing that. But, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, it's difficult both ways. You can understand Southwest. You can understand people wanting to have a little self-respect. So I think the buffet is the way to go.
There you go.
I think that's a good solution. And Bean is not known for good solutions either, but I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Anybody care what this guy thinks?
No!
that's a good policy as well. Adam Carolla will be here today.
Yeah.
We haven't been able to get him in studio for, 2 months?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
He's a very busy man, though. I'm always surprised that he's able to be on our show at all with as many things as he's got going.
He's coming in studio today. Very excited.
Did you see
him
on Jimmy last night?
I did not. I take
wearing his Uncle Sam suit, his red, white, and blue Uncle Sam suit. USA, USA.
And he's wearing that because?
Well, as he described to us last time we had him on, he has been in pursuit of the Guinness Book of World Records most downloaded podcast record. Which he wanted to take from that communist Ricky Gervais, and last night was the night that he was officially presented with his certificate.
No kidding.
He was out there pimping Uncle Sam last night. So congratulations to the Ace Man.
Ricky Gervais, British?
That's right.
You said communist. Same thing.
Right, exactly. Well,
that's how living in Britain.
That's how Adam has been phrasing it, is we have to take that podcast record away from that communist.
I see. Okay, he's got a point.
It's time for an American to hold that record.
He's got a point. You were banging somebody before they became famous. I want to take your stories on today's Kevin and Bean Show because there was a prom picture of Jessica Alba and her date. And first of all, Jessica Alba looks exactly the same today as she did then.
She does. Yeah,
she's pretty hot in high school, that's for sure.
Second of all, he should have never been her date once.
But if he was lucky enough to date her, he should have figured out a way to never let her go.
Right, but I don't think he has that in his arsenal. You know
right,
what I mean?
Like,
he can
want
that all he wants, but
I'm saying he should have held on for that rocket ride because right now he'd be married to Jessica Alba.
Yeah, I don't see that.
And all that entails.
But you look at him and you go, he can't hold on, would never make it.
Probably no one in that high school could.
Might as well just cut himself loose.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So we got that coming up. And we have a real-life movie critic. Well, a blind movie critic. That is going to take a look at Omar's college project, Cucamonga Heat, which we've fallen in love with so much here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Can't a lot wait. Of people make college projects. By the way, we should take some
submissions
from people who made college projects, because I'm sure they're getting a lot better now than they were then. But
or not.
Omar's is maybe the worst thing we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But the blind movie reviewer doesn't know that. I don't think we told him what we think of it.
He might like it.
So, yeah, he doesn't have to see that there are 7 bullet shots, point blank range, with a gun against the head before the guy falls. That's funny.
I think the only way you could like Cucamonga Heat, and let's have Dave put it back on the website today so people can watch it, but the only way you could possibly like it is if you were blind and deaf.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, but we'll ask him. We'll find out. We'll see if he's. This is a test for this guy.
Yeah.
If he likes it, we're cutting him loose. He doesn't deserve to be here. Plus, we've got your tickets for the Weenie Roast 2011. So we're going to give you a chance to earn those coming up. We'll take a look at the Showbiz Beat coming up next.
Rockin' Tours on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Rise Against, Smashing Pumpkins, and yes, that red-hot new song from Gary Jules called Mad World. We'll be playing that one for you if you haven't heard that yet. That's on the way, coming up here in minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on a Thursday?
Well, here's no surprise. Jeff Conaway, former star of Taxi,
uh-oh,
has been hospitalized after an apparent overdose. If you've seen him on Celebrity Rehab, this is no shock.
Yeah.
Sadly, Jeff Conaway has been battling alcohol and substance abuse for some time now. The LA Times is reporting the 60-year-old actor was unconscious and had pneumonia when he arrived at the Encino Hospital Medical Center.
Wow.
Yesterday, Jeff has fought to stay clean after battles with cocaine, painkillers, and alcohol. No word on how he got to the hospital, but I'm assuming his girlfriend took him there. And
I don't know if that's sad. A safe assumption.
Sad news. Well, he got there.
Yeah.
Zsa Zsa Gabor is also in the hospital. She had a feeding tube inserted into her stomach and was bleeding like a fountain.
Oh, man.
According to her spokesperson. That's a bad spokesperson.
Yeah.
I want you to be more delicate in describing to the press my situation if my feeding tube is bleeding like a fountain.
Right.
Find a better way to say
don't
that.
Don't use like a fountain if you don't mind.
There was some hemorrhaging issues.
Yes.
You know, something like that. Oh, my God. It's disgusting.
It was everywhere.
She was bleeding like a stuck pig. I guess her husband's still trying to have a baby. So, you Jesus. Know. He says she's in a coma and she's not responsive. She had been hospitalized for pneumonia over the weekend and released a day earlier. So maybe just keep Zsa Zsa at 94 near the hospital. Maybe just find a nice comfy bed for her and just leave her inside there for a while and make sure everything's okay.
The permanent residencies at hospitals?
In and out. It seems like a waste of everyone's
hospice,
time.
Yeah. Hasn't she been at death's door for a year?
Yes.
Like barely alive for a year?
Yes. This Olivia Munn, I'm telling you, she should, whatever she makes, she should give half to her publicist.
Why?
Because it's just, she has another job. She just, NBC just canceled that horrible show Perfect Couples that she was on.
Okay.
And it's just been announced that she's got a new role on an HBO series.
Sweet.
This is the one Aaron Sorkin's putting together. It's about a cable news network, and apparently she will play a financial analyst in the upcoming series.
That does it nude?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. This is another one of those cases Hollywood just insists that she's a TV star, and we're going to love her, God damn it. And that's the end of it. You will watch her, regardless. Just you watch. We're telling you. So, she's got another role. Did you see that Perfect Couples?
No.
Yes.
Did you see her on that Perfect Couples?
Well, no. Okay. By default, no, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't see the show.
I didn't think she was the worst thing on that show, Ralph.
That's not saying much.
Well, then, by all means, give her another series.
Let's
find all the people who aren't the worst actors in the world and give them TV shows.
I'm just saying, that show had a lot of problems beyond Olivia. That's
and
all.
Rachel Yucatel's in the news.
Yes.
She is getting her own reality show.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. She is going to be followed by cameras for a docudrama that will show us all her career as a rookie private investigator. I knew there was a reason she was going to private investigator school. I just couldn't figure out what it was, because someone sent her and said, hey, you know, make a good reality show? How about you be a private investigator and we'll follow you around with cameras? You'll be like Dog the Bounty Hunter. It'll only be Bitch the Marriage Killer. apparently, she said she wasn't interested at first.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure you weren't. But she agreed to the idea because her work will make for great television, she says. So,
or Rachel, they told her how much it was going to pay, right?
Rachel, you could tell P.I.
Giant size cans.
Be seen on a TV channel near you sometimes. So.
She was, to me, it was a revelation because I didn't know that much about her. But to see her on Celebrity Rehab, she was shockingly good looking on that show. I had no idea.
Boobs are holding up nicely for a gal her age, I'll say that.
Looks like Sienna Miller's finally gotten Jude Law out of her system. The two have been on and off for years, but it looks like she's found a new man. She's been spotted out with an actor named Tom Sturridge from the movie Vanity Fair. I guess Sienna just doesn't date anyone who's not a movie star or an actor. Seems like she really has a type.
You think people go out of their way to do that, or it's just the people that are around?
Or it doesn't get publicized if it's somebody who's not famous.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. We're regardless of our careers, we're all around all different kinds of people.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It would be like you only dating someone from the radio business or something. You did marry someone from the radio business.
Did, yeah.
it'd be like me marrying someone from the radio business. Right. I'm just saying there's all kinds of people you meet in this world. And people do. I mean, models marry billionaires usually.
Sure.
So, could be a billionaire.
Poor guys for about 2 months.
Yeah. Leighton Meester's found a new boyfriend, for example.
This is the hot chick edition today, Ralph. Well done.
Look, he's an actor. Justin Long. Oh. He's a Mac.
Right.
Now he's macking on Leighton Meester. The couple apparently has been spotted out here in Los Angeles and holding hands all night and mooning into each other's eyes, and they've just been deliciously in love.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
But congratulations. And last night I got to see Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
How was it?
It is good.
So I'll think it's great.
I think you'll think it's good.
Okay. It's not bad.
We'll talk more about it Friday. All right. Look, these people have I do not envy the producers and cast and crew of this film because we've been down this road 3 times already.
Yeah.
How do you make it exciting? How do you make it fresh? It's not easy. New director this time around, Rob Marshall, who did Chicago, of course. We'll talk about it on Friday, but it's really entertaining. It's solid. It's solid. I got a few problems with it, but overall, I really had a good time. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. I think that's the biggest flaw of the film, really, is that at over 2 hours, a film like that where every action sequence seems to run on just a little too long, every fight is just a little bit too long, it really can sort of suck the life out of you sometimes, you know?
The last one was a lot longer than that. Even this is them cutting it back, and I guess part of the problem people had with 3 was that the plot lines were so confusing and there were so many of them. Did they at least simplify that a little bit?
Yeah, right? This is a more direct narrative, absolutely. But it's we'll talk about it Friday. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because Penelope Cruz, is in the film and she looks stunning in this movie. She really does. She was pregnant during half of the filming, which I don't know how they hid, but apparently her sister, who looks very much like her, stood in as her double in a lot of the
shots. Right.
So they got very inventive when it came to shooting Ms. Cruz. She says she's a geek. Yeah, that's my girl. I love when hot girls announce their geekdom.
Yeah.
She tells Vogue magazine that her idea of fun is to head out to the karaoke bar. Likes to get loaded and belt out a few tunes.
Is that geeky?
Well, I guess it is if you're singing karaoke in a bar and you're sort of not that good
seems,
at it.
Seems social for your people, though. Gets them out of the basement, you know?
She says she's not much of a singer.
Good.
But she says she can rap M&Ms without me like nobody's business. That's her big showstopper.
Love to hear that.
That's her big smash hit when she goes out with the gang.
I would love to hear that.
I would love to hear that, too, with that cute little Barcelona accent.
It's funny. She's not much of a singer, yet everyone seems to applaud and love her when she's on stage.
Yeah. Weird.
Today's celebrity birthday is Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca in Star Wars saga. He is 67 years old today. Never has that sound effect been more appropriate.
Yeah.
Remember the time he came in, Kevin, and he was wearing the Chewbacca outfit? Do you remember Peter Mayhew came in all gnarled up from arthritis and just kind of struggling to get in?
Yeah. It was a little bit sad.
Yeah.
He's 70-something or whatever he was. It's like
he's 67 today. Pete Townsend is 66 years old today. Grace Jones, singer, model, actress, is 59. Phil Rudd, of AC/DC. Very different Rudd. He is 57. And Boston Celtics forward Kevin Garnett celebrates his 35th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So the Weenie Roast is a thing that is happening 2 weeks from Saturday, June 4th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater with Linkin Park and Rise Against, Strokes, Bad Religion, Cage the Elephant, and much, much more. We have tickets to give away. Now, would you characterize this game as being easy to win, Kevin, or no?
I don't know how I'd consider that. Let's bring in Mr. Announcer Man and see if he has a thought on this. Mr. Announcer Man?
It's the hardest game in the world!
Hardest game in the world, apparently, being. Should I hit the theme now?
That's what we were all waiting for, yes.
Okay, do it again, Mr. Announcer Man. Do it again.
It's the hardest game in the world. Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man, what goes on in Kevin's pretty little head? Was it not an obvious enough cue to hit the theme? What do you think?
I don't know.
All right. Explain to our contestants on the phone and listeners at home and in their cars how the game is played, Mr. Announcer Man.
We'll be announcing names of the bands that are playing the 2011 Weenie Roast. All you need to do is to identify that band's name. Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot. The band's names will all be backwards.
Yay! Now, that doesn't sound so hard.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take our contestants in order, starting with Veronica on line one. Now, again, Veronica, we're going to play it for you. We're going to play it for you no more than twice. It's going to be the name of one of the acts playing on our show, and it's going to be backwards. All you have to do is tell us what the band or artist is from. Would you got all that?
Yes, definitely.
Good luck.
All
right, here we
go. Thank you.
One more time.
How many guesses do I get?
Seven. Well,
just 10.
Seven.
We're going to go with one.
Okay.
But we need
stroke?
It now.
The stroke?
The stroke. No, well, it's
Bad Religion.
Yeah. I know it's the hardest game in the world, Veronica, but isn't the fact that it was clearly two words, doesn't that eliminate the Strokes?
The Strokes is two words.
Yeah.
Especially when the second one it goes, yeah.
The second one was dab. If that says anything, so.
All right, thank you for playing. Mr. Announcer Man, who's our next contestant?
Next up is Matt. He works for UPS.
I think that's UPS.
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
You ready for the hardest game in the world?
Yep.
Tell us this band or artist.
Zirsch 9.
One more time.
Zirsch 9.
Oh.
They're fine.
Band name?
Leaky Leak.
Neon Trees.
Oh. This game is not very easy. That's what I'm learning.
Now I know what Brown can't do for me. Give the right answer.
All right, who's next?
Next up is Dennis. He's a fire marshal. Hey, put out that campfire.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dennis. Hi. All right, you ready to play the hardest game in the world?
Yes.
Good luck.
Heel.
One more time.
Heel.
Leaky Lee.
Nicely done.
Go. Slam dunk.
Nicely done.
It is fortunate for the contestant when they land on one that's virtually the same backwards as it is frontwards.
Yeah, that helps. All right, who do we have next?
Next up's Robert. He's a file clerk.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, good morning.
Ready for the hardest game in the world?
Ready.
Here you go.
Snake.
One more time.
Snake.
Young the Giant?
Rise Against. Oh.
Sorry about that, yeah.
It did sound like it was German for something. I don't know why. That one definitely sounded like something. All right, we've only got one in the drawing.
Because it said 9 at the end.
Maybe that's what it was. We've only got Dennis in the drawing so far. Who's going to be trying to get in there next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Sean will be trying to get in there next. He's an air conditioning technician.
Cool.
Hey, Sean, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, good luck.
Remember, he had not.
One more time.
Remember, Edna.
Day to remember?
A day to remember.
Nicely
there
done.
It is. Well done.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Woo!
I nailed it. Yeah.
All right, who do we have?
Next up is Dennis. He's a jailer. Kevin, do you know him?
I do not. Thank you for asking. Dennis, hi.
What's up?
I don't know you, right?
I'm ready.
Okay, good. Here's your band.
Girl, Nick Neal.
One more time.
Girl, Nick Neal.
Schultz.
Lincoln Park.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200, jailer.
All right, we're running out of time. I think we got time maybe for two more, Mr. Announcer Man.
Let's talk to Melvin. He's a contractor. I contracted something once.
That's a different kind of contractor.
But I cleaned it up with penicillin.
Yes. Melvin.
Yes.
You don't hear that name a lot these days. All right, you ready for your band?
Yes, sir.
Here you go.
Snavy Iskotner over
it. What? What the hell?
One more time.
Snavy Iskotner over it.
What? That's the hardest game in the world.
It really is not easy. All right, Melvin.
The airborne toxic event?
How about that?
The what? Airborne toxic event.
you're more surprised that he got it than...
What?
All right, who's our final contestant today?
Next up is Marvin. First Melvin, now Marvin.
What's going on?
What is happening?
Marvin's a hairdresser.
All right, Marvin, you ready?
Yep.
Here's your band.
Squirt sub.
One more time.
Squirt sub.
The Strokes?
The Strokes.
Nicely done.
Coming on strong at the end.
Yeah, no kidding.
No kidding. If enough people guessed the Strokes, eventually it was going to be the right answer. All right, we've got Dennis. We've got, who do we have? Dennis, Sean, Melvin, and Marvin. All four of them in the drawing. Lisa May, who's our winner?
Our winner is Dennis.
Dennis!
Yay! Dennis!
Congratulations, Dennis. You got the tickets.
All right, thank you, guys.
Nicely done. Thank you for being a fire marshal, whatever that means. And thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you, Kevin and Bay.
Many new details have unfolded on Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Housekeeper's Love Child. We've got those for you coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, joins us later today, too. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, welcome our friend Omar Khan to the studio. Hi, Omar. How are you?
What's happening, Lops?
How do you feel it's going, bringing Lop back?
It's huge.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, it's huge.
Because I'm only hearing it from you at this point.
Oh, No. I got people emailing me on parody song ideas.
Sure.
The next one coming up is going to be a parody of LMFAO Shots.
Can't wait.
Go, Lops, 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 Lops. And somebody emailed me this morning, we're going to do Hanson Mbop. Lop, boopity, boopity.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I can't wait to hear
that. A lot of support.
Your version of that.
Yep.
Well, the reason Omar is here today is it's the gift that keeps on giving, is that he did Cucamonga Heat. He's the genius. He's the auteur behind Cucamonga Heat. Orson Welles had Citizen Kane. Omar has Cucamonga Heat.
That's right.
Explain to folks who maybe it's been a while or they've never heard the recap of this movie. How did this come about,
I was taking some broadcasting courses, and one of the assignments was to create something and slap it on film.
Right.
Just anything. And
they gave you no guidelines?
No guidelines. Okay. You could do a reality show, game show, whatever, just slap it on film, turn it in, and they're going to preview it in class. So we decided to come up with a movie, and all the dudes in my group were procrastinators. We shot and edited this in 2 days.
No way! How did you get all the way through it?
You can't tell. It's so pro.
Sound effects are terrible. What's the storyline? The underlying storyline?
The underlying storyline is that there's this guy, Mr. Khan, who did something wrong by this guy. So the guy who works for him, so he decides to get him back.
Okay.
So he sets up this fake drug deal, and he's going to double cross him.
Oh no!
And then
excuse me, I didn't interrupt. Who are your influences here? Because it's very Tarantino-esque when I watch it.
Take it easy.
I made it in 99. I think Pulp Fiction came out in 96, 94, something like that. So it was huge. Oh, it was the exact ripoff of Pulp Fiction. I used so much of the same music. I mean, yeah.
I thought I was watching Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it's that slick, right?
Yeah, it really is, for sure. Yeah.
So at the very end, it all goes wrong. Mr. Khan doesn't end up killing the guy. There's a shootout.
You don't remember, do you?
No. I wasn't a lot of drugs.
There's a car chase that lasts about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. But it was awesome.
Yeah, sure.
It was the best.
Right. And then
they get in a shootout. Mr. Khan ends up killing
spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Jeez, I haven't seen it yet.
But one of these other guys comes and kills Mr. Khan and takes all his money at the end.
Oh,
that was a twist at the end.
What a twist.
Oh, yeah. I see.
What grade did you get?
I was actually the best in the class.
Yes!
I did. I scored very well.
Class that was.
Now, we've often said that the only way to enjoy this movie is to be blind, Omar. And fortunately, there is a blind movie reviewer that we have been in touch with over the years here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His name is Jay Forey. And we caught up with him a few weeks ago as he reviewed Thor. And it occurred to us at that time that maybe he ought to have a look, no pun intended, at your movie, Cucamonga Heat. And Jay joins us from blindsidereviews.com right now. Hey, Jay, how are you, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good. Take it easy.
See, he's already excited because Cucamonga Heat was so awesome.
Now, Jay, you've been doing reviews for a long time of films that you never see. How long has it been since somebody has come to you and said, hey, we'd like you to review this movie for us?
Every once in a while. Yeah, I've actually been reviewing movies for 12 years for the Broadcast Film Critics Association, and so I receive screeners all the time, so this is not uncommon.
All right, okay. I have to ask a question, and this is just generic. We ask this of everyone. Are you drunk right now?
It probably would have helped watching the movie.
Yeah, hey! I could see. Oh! Is he tipping his head here or what? So this is another question that I've been dying to ask you, Jay. Is you use a computer? You're able to watch this on YouTube or something like that? When we send it, we just send you a link and you're able to watch it on a computer?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, I have several computers, and the computers actually talk to me, obviously, when I type and stuff, emails up. And yeah, you're right. I just click it on, and I'm able to watch it.
Did you click on this movie and when you were watching, did your computer go, this is bad?
That happened. I had to keep turning on. I kept shutting off.
Yeah. I would imagine you would hope to be deaf once you saw Cucamonga Heat.
How
like,
dare
please.
You.
All right. What do you have some clips, Kevin? Maybe we can kind of go through the movie and get Jay's professional movie critic opinion on what he heard?
The first clip, I'm afraid we're going to need Omar to give us a short synopsis of because, well, you'll hear.
You're the man, Mr. Compton?
Yeah.
What is your name?
All right, so they're standing under Niagara Falls.
And why can't we hear anything, Omar? Why did you like anything?
Yeah, that sound quality is great. Are you kidding? All we had, you remember
you
those?
You can't even make out the sound of what they're saying.
Remember those huge VHS cameras where you would put the VH tape in it?
Right.
So the shot I wanted was a long shot. So that's it. We get one take on everything. We did one take on. There was no.
Was it a windy day?
It was actually indoors.
What?
Yeah, that was indoors.
Now let me ask our movie critic Jay. Did you have any trouble following the plot line of this movie, only being able to hear it?
I had a hard time following the plot line of that part. Right, I thought somebody was in a box. I could not understand.
Wait. You thought somebody was ready to box?
No, I thought they were in a box.
Oh, in a box.
He said, yeah.
You're right. I couldn't understand hardly at all what they were saying.
Okay.
And so in that part there, yeah, I could follow the plot line to a certain extent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Do you have something else there?
We do. We have a couple of clips. This
before
is the...
I go on.
Yeah.
When I first started watching this film, I started thinking, now, somebody in the fifth grade should not be using this kind of language.
That's correct, yes. I agree.
You didn't realize Omar was in college when he made the movie.
This is a college movie?
College, yeah.
Wow. And you got the best grade in the class.
Absolutely.
All right, now this is the classic scene that we always play with Omar, and he's on the phone, and he's trying to get the double cross
going. I'm setting it up, yeah.
Okay, now before you hit the audio, I have to ask, was this the only... You had 30 seconds to finish this movie, so this was the take you had to use, or is this the best you could do back then?
No, this was the best I could do back then.
Did you think... Nailed it.
No. The problem with this was this was actually a voiceover dub because you could tell the quality is really good. So I was at home using two voiceovers in my little DJ mixer I had at home.
Right.
So it was on the fly. I had to do it in one take. So whatever I got, that was it.
All
we
right.
were using.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here you go. This is you on the phone.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm gonna take care of them, dude. All right. So I'm gonna send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Hang on. I got to listen to some slow jams.
Yeah. You know? Right, a straight rip off of Pulp Fiction right there.
Yeah. Jay from Blindside Reviews, what do you think of the movie at this point when you're watching?
Well, because at that point, I'm thinking, did I have it somehow on fast motion or speed or something like that?
No.
And is the guy speaking back to him? I'm going, is this a one-sided conversation?
Well,
the phone.
You see,
what's going on?
You see one-sided conversations a lot, but at least they pause as if the other person's able to say anything.
They didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah.
Were you, I know you mentioned you thought it was fifth graders, but weren't you astonished at how bad the acting was in this thing, Jay?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. At one point, you know, I thought the acting by the drug dealer was actually pretty good, and I thought, well, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not acting. You know, I don't know.
Well, maybe this is real.
They are my friends.
Yeah, it's, true. It's very true. He casts real people.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the drug deal gone bad.
It's about time. Let's get to business. You got the stuff? I got the money. Let me see stuff first.
Right. Okay.
The acting was made. Hey, let me handle this, okay?
You're on there?
Count it.
Let me see stuff.
Man, you're gonna like that.
I'll be judge of this.
What the mother?
Yeah. Now what's happening there?
Is that when you go on the car chase?
That's when, yeah, we go on the car chase. I'm not in that scene. That's the drug dealer that I want to kill and the guy who I hired to double-cross him. So he gives him fake drugs.
Jay, how frustrating are long car chase scenes in a movie when you're a blind guy trying to review it? I mean, that's just got to be like the biggest waste of your time ever.
That is true. It is a waste during normal, you know, normal movies. Even then, it's somewhat of a waste. This was just agonizing.
Yeah, yeah, it was agonizing.
This was the highlight of the movie.
No, the highlight of the movie is when who's on their knees and the guy's got a gun to his head.
That's Eric.
Okay,
Eric's that's the guy who I hired. Yeah.
On the knees?
Yeah.
And somebody else has a gun to his head. And you hear like 7-8 bullets like this. And then you look up, and it's point blank. The gun is touching the guy's head.
That's the next scene you have. So,
oh, it is.
Yeah,
because we're thinking, how many shots does it take at that range to drop a guy? The guy's still just standing there. He's fine.
I'm going to cut one finger, bam, at a time.
All right.
I'll tell you, man.
Who sent you?
It was Mr. Carr.
Mr.
What do you?
Awesome.
Mr. Carr sent you, huh? Get on your knees now. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, take care of this bitch.
Now, the important thing to understand in all that is the guy that's on his knees is still on his knees upright.
He doesn't fall till about 2 seconds after the sound effect hit.
All of those shots.
Yeah.
Does he have a head left? Let me ask you.
Of course.
Yeah, totally.
He's fine. Omar didn't even use ketchup.
No.
There's no blood from that many shots close to the head.
Yeah.
So,
now, Jay, I know, Jay, you give a letter grade of all the movies that you review for blindsidereviews.com. What did you come up with for Cucamonga Heat by director Omar Khan?
Before I do this quickly, the one of the problems was that the editing could have been so much more better. The music just, it was choppy going out. At one point, I thought it was some porno music flipping in there.
It probably was
porno music.
It probably was.
Anyway, normally, obviously this is an amateur movie. I would give this an F rating.
How dare you?
An F rating if it's a, one of my movies that we see. But I'm going to be, and I'll give this an F plus. So,
okay, F plus.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Because he was an amateur at the time.
Exactly.
You
so I give him
I would like to see Omar remake this movie now.
I think I'm gonna get Kevin Smith to direct this one.
I'll bet it'll be hell. I want you to do it.
Okay.
And I want to see how much change there's gonna be, because I'm guessing none.
Will you be in it?
Sure.
All right, we're in.
And I'll be the first to review it for
you. Okay. All right. Blindsidereviews.com, North America's only blind movie reviewer. Jay, great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Bye.
Rock and roll!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:54.
It's Donnie Darko all over again. What's going on? Crazy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Time for another look at the show biz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Well, that was quick.
What?
Told you yesterday that the Real Housewives of New Jersey star Danielle Staub had signed a 3-year contract with Scores Gentlemen's Club to be a stripper there since she lost her TV gig.
Right.
She's already quit her stripper job.
Had she danced yet?
I don't know.
What?
She has quit the job, People Magazine has announced. and has contacted celebrity rehab specialist Dr. Drew for help in overcoming her addictions to love and low self-esteem. Why strip for a living when you can just pretend to bare your soul on television and make money that way?
But he doesn't have
bare
a rehab
ass, bare
for that.
Soul. Oh, sure he does. Oh, Rachel, you could tell she was a big love addict. That was her big addiction, was love.
But there's also...
Too much love, Kevin. That was her problem. Too much love.
But there's also a drug addiction to go along with it. Does she have a drug addiction?
I'm sure she'll find one if she doesn't.
All right. I think Ralph's right. I think that's the only thing Rachel was in for. She didn't have a substance abuse problem at all. But they let her into rehab because of the love thing.
Huh.
But she was hot, so I didn't mind. I don't care about this woman being on the show.
As to why she took the strip club gig in the first place, she says she was conned into signing the deal by her handlers. Yeah, listen. Listen.
Is she nine?
Listen, ass. How do you get conned into it? If they say, yeah, we want to have you sign a deal with Scores Club, which is one of the most famous strip clubs in the world, let alone New York.
What that is.
Yeah.
In New York.
What? Scores? Is it,
is it a restaurant?
Is it a sports club? Do I have to keep score of baseball games? Conned into it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, we're going to start taking people out. It's going to be like Planet of the Apes, the hunt, where the apes come in on horseback and they just start beating the bushes and all the savages go running out of the cornfields.
Won't she take care of herself? I mean, really?
That's true.
You need to track her down.
Wait long enough, she'll take herself out.
Right.
While we're talking about Dr. Drew and his harem, Janice Dickinson in the news. I don't know if you saw the photos of her nude. They're on the internet this week at 56 years old.
I have not seen them.
Still looks pretty good.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, pretty solid. You can go to PrezHilton.com, but they're all over the place if you want to check them out. But at 56, you got to give the woman some credit. First of all, it's gutsy to take your clothes off and pose nude when you're 56 anyway. But
it's gutsy anyway, I think, for anyone.
To look good like that.
Was she the first supermodel? Or
I'm not sure. Yeah. Only we could ask her. She doesn't really have an opinion about that, so it doesn't really matter. More details coming out about Arnold Schwarzenegger and his... mistress, I guess, housekeeper. Mm-hmm. Turns out his kid with her and one of his kids with Maria are a week apart in age.
A week apart?
That means while the housekeeper was pregnant with his son, Maria was also pregnant at the same time.
Hmm.
So,
but he didn't know that.
So that was going on.
At the time.
The woman told him, right, when the kid was a toddler. Yeah. Apparently, that's when he found out.
Oh, so he didn't know that that was his kid being born as well?
But I think what Ralph's point is, Lisa, is that he did know he was having sex with one 4 or 5 days after having sex with the other one.
I'm not sure about that. He may have not have known. Who knows? He could have just been stumbling around in the dark with his penis out and accidentally had fallen
sometimes
into any
happens.
Number of vaginas. Yeah. You have no idea.
Sometimes that happens.
It's all a crapshoot sometimes. Today's celebrity birthday is Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca in Star Wars. 67 years old today. Musician Pete Townsend of the legendary rock band The Who is 66 years old. Speaking of legendary rock bands, remember ZZ Top?
Sure.
Yeah. Dusty Hill. Dusty Hill of ZZ Top.
Dusty's a good name for
him.
He's
the one with the beard.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that narrows it down.
And the guy's name, whose last name is Beard?
Yeah.
No Beard.
No Beard.
That's how you keep him straight. He's 62. Grace Jones, singer, model, and actress, is 59. Phil Rudd, drummer for AC/DC, is 57. And Celtics forward Kevin Garnett celebrates his 35th birthday today. You got to take some pleasure, Kevin, in the fact that at least the Celtics aren't in it, right?
I do take a little pleasure in that, yeah.
I know it's hard for you as a Lakers fan to be to miss out on the playoffs. But
wait, we're out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know if you read that or not. You should pick up a paper once in a while. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What's it like to be Jessica Alba's high school boyfriend? Is that a pain that puts you in your bed forever? Are you never able to get up and get past that when you realize you're with her and now you're not? Look at her.
I don't think so. Unless that guy's crazy and deluded. You just go, hey, I had my shot. That was good.
I had the hottest girl in high school.
Right. She still looks the same, by the way.
Yeah. We will discuss that coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't know if you've been following the Arnold story quite as closely as we have, but TMZ did put up a story a couple of minutes ago that discussed how there were doubts about who the father of this kid was. And that is when the woman got divorced in 2008, she wrote no kids. Now, the kid was already born by then, so the husband went, huh?
Yeah, as anyone would.
And then she said it was another father and blah, blah, blah. It all spiraled out of control like we've been telling you. So we thought we would talk to Arnold again, just see what his take is on the updates and everything that's been going on in his life. Hi, Arnold.
Hello?
Hi, Arnold. Is Arnold there?
No, he's not here. Can I take a message?
Yeah. Who's this?
This is Arnold's son.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you the 13-year-old love child with the housekeeper?
Yeah, that's me, the 13-year-old love child.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. We thought we were going to get your dad. Okay, well, so your mom, then, is the housekeeper that worked for the Schwarzeneggers for 20 years.
That's right. Yeah, Mildred.
Mildred.
Yeah.
So she's the home-wrecking whore.
Oh, Dad, how dare you talk about my mother like that? I will take you and smash you like a wishbone.
Wait a minute. Okay. Are you in the gym right now?
Yeah, I'm pumping my muscles up to get huge.
Oh, yeah.
You are definitely your daddy's boy. Yeah. Now, some of the pictures that I've seen of you, you look just like your father.
Yeah, that's right. It's like we're twins.
Oh, no, not you two.
Come on.
It's unbelievable how close we are.
You can't. Please don't do that.
Yeah, I'm the next to the last action hero.
Oh,
okay. That's a terrible habit to pick up.
That's hot. You can just call me Junior.
No. Okay. No one likes it when your dad does that.
It's not hot. Look, it's not hot when he does it. It's not hot at all.
Yeah, hey, it's hot.
We can call you Junior, but even though we know you exist, none of the news outlets are giving your name. We don't even know what your name is. Can you tell us?
I'm not sure if I can tell anybody.
Oh, okay.
Because then I have not have a moment's peace. But
see.
Can just call me Predator.
Oh,
Come on. It's not an ah.
You can't tell us if that's hot. We'll tell you. And we're saying no. So, the TMZ, other people are knocking on doors around the neighborhood. What's that like for you?
It's okay.
You're fine with it? Okay, good. Do you get made fun of? Do people know that you're Arnold's son?
No, they haven't figured it out yet, but I think they will.
Yeah.
Because
they've
seen me around the neighborhood, and then they have Total Recall, and they put two and two together, and they say, oh, that must be Arnold's son.
It's hot.
And there's also it's hot.
I'm just glad that, my mother, when she got pregnant with me from Arnold, didn't decide to become a pregnancy terminator.
Really? Wait,
who's there with you? Sounded like someone was laughing there.
That's none of your business.
All right, I'm just asking.
Anything else you'd like to ask?
I don't think so after that last
one. Do you have any kind of a relationship with your real father, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, absolutely. Even though he's been telling true lies about me for all these years.
Come on, really?
We're looking forward to reestablishing our relationship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're going to work out together.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to grope women together.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait. We'll be like Conan and Son.
Sure.
Raping and pillaging everywhere.
No.
If you're 13 and your dad's going to take you out to grope, I mean, you got to be the happiest little kid in the world.
That's hot.
It is hot.
Okay. All right, good to talk to you.
People have been knocking around now.
What?
I'm sorry, what, Junior? He's making fun of my question.
People have been knocking on doors in the neighborhood.
They have?
But I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Just to let you know.
Do you want me to follow up further on that conversation?
That's hot.
Our guest next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show just entered the Guinness Book of World Records as the most downloaded podcaster in the world. He is Adam Carolla, although, frankly, we'd rather have number 2, Ricky Gervais. But we'll take the Ace Man coming up next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, go to KevinandBean.com right now if you have not yet seen the photo of it's Jessica Alba. Is this her junior or senior high school prom photo? Do we know?
I don't know, but it could have been taken this year, and that's annoying. She still looks exactly the same.
She does. It's shocking.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. I don't know how many years it's been since Jessica Alba has been out of high school, but it's got to be more than 10, and she does look exactly as we know her today.
It was 13 years ago.
Okay.
So that's what it was, yeah.
Now, her date in the photo is a man named Chris Lackeys, I guess is how you pronounce it. And he's on TMZ this week talking about breaking up with Jessica Alba or her breaking up with him or somehow the relationship ended 13 years ago. They had been dating on and off for 5 years. Kevin, you bring up a good point. Why is he talking about this now in 2011?
13 years later. What a loser.
most of us are over our problems by that.
Come on.
But he has gone on to start a website, by the way, called RelationshipCourt.com, where if you're having a dispute with your significant other, it's like the people's court. You go on and both people tell their sides of the story, and then the people on the website vote on who's right. That's a way to settle an argument. That's what the website's all about.
So we wrote to Chris, and we said, hey, we'd like to have you on to talk about this. And he's like, no, I'd rather not. We were like,
which is odd.
That right? doesn't make sense.
No.
But then we started talking about what it must be like for Chris now, every single day, to realize, as good or bad as it was at the time, he had Jessica Alba and let her go. And now she's Jessica Alba. Then she was just a hot chick in high school named Jessica. Now she's Jessica Alba.
I would like to get her version of the story, because my guess is she has no idea who he is. She looks at this picture and she goes, who was that? He asked her out like a couple of days before prom. She said yes because she's nice.
Right.
And then, of course, they broke up right after prom. So she doesn't even remember this dude.
Well, if they dated for 5 years,
that's what he says. I'm saying I would say the same thing.
But then we started thinking about how many times it happens, particularly in Los Angeles, where there are lots and lots and lots of celebrities who live lots and lots and lots of normal lives before they become famous. And there are people in their lives who used to be going out with them, and now they aren't anymore, and now they've gone on to become, you know, in some cases, international superstars. We're talking off the air. What must it be like now, today, to wake up and be Jennifer Lopez's first husband, for instance? What must that be like now to see her go on and become J-Lo? And you go, well, I would have sure liked living that lifestyle. I wish I could have hung on for a couple more years, right?
Yeah, I don't know the situation in that breakup, but there also is the, wow, I'm glad I got out of that relationship, no matter what she goes on to
True.
Do. Don't you think? I mean, sure. Maybe it was, if it wasn't his decision,
right?
Or it was his decision, more importantly, then he's glad he did it.
Was there a comedian one time who said something about no matter how hot a chick is, there's always somebody who's so glad to be rid of her?
Yes.
Because there's something we don't know about her that makes her super annoying, right? And the reverse is also true with guys. I mean, there are girls out there who, you know, grew up, they went to the high school prom with Brad Pitt. You know, it's same example exactly.
But Brad then he Pitt was just Bradley, and everybody hated him and picked on him.
Right.
You know?
And now they got to go, well, that's Brad Pitt. I mean, what must that be like now? Does that screw with you? Is it something you just look back on as being a fond memory, or is it something that really bugs you? Is it something that you regret because you didn't make it work? I mean, there are a lot of different possibilities the way it could play out.
My thinking is always, hey, look at that guy. I had him. You know what I mean? Like, or her, yeah. In this particular case. I wouldn't look back and go, wow, my life, oh, I should have. I would just say, hey, I had a piece of that. You want to talk to me?
I'll tell you everything I know.
So we are going to be looking for you if you dated someone who is now famous or went on to become famous. They don't even have to be famous now, but at one point they got really famous and you had already broken up with them by then, had already divorced them or had already broken up with them. You weren't there for when they blew up and got big. You know, maybe, he played high school baseball and now he's, you know, a starter for the Giants. I mean, whatever the story is, you missed out on the fame part of your other half's relationship. That's what we're looking for.
Seems to me like, and again, the fame part of it, if things are rough, would make it way worse. You know
what
I mean? Like,
definitely.
It just seems like it would be a complicating factor. But I used to date / bang /
you went out for coffee.
You used to bang / no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying any of these call-ins are fine. Or had coffee with once. I don't know. Whatever. Whoever it is that you had a relationship with of any kind, and then after it ended between you two, they went on to superstardom, and you went on to call us.
Yeah, exactly. Which is very, very sad.
So they're waking up today in one of their houses in the islands. You're on the 405 yes. dialing us on a cell phone listening to Kevin and Bean, right? Yes. That's what we're looking for?
Yeah, and then if you were to ask the celebrity, they would go, who?
Yeah, that's a good chance.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I don't know. We always wonder if we're going to get calls. I mean, there certainly are plenty of celebrities who grew up around here.
Oh, yeah.
Have to be plenty of people who were in their life at one time or another. I don't know how we're going to do with this call, and it's always a mystery when we roll the dice on something like this, but we're going to see how it goes. All right, one more time. You dated or banged a celebrity before they were famous. That's what we want to hear about. 1-800- 520-1067. That's the toll-free number. Your calls right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Taking your calls on The Kevin and Bean Show right now at 1-800-520-1067. You dated them before they were famous. How's that treating you? Curious to hear what it's like. I mean, for a lot of people, it's probably not a big deal. It's just another ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend in their past.
Now, I think if you have a life, which the guy in the picture that we put up at KevinandBean.com clearly doesn't. He's 13 years later. He's still talking about it. If you have a life, you know, you've moved on, you've had other girls, you've loved other people, then you're fine.
Right. But. Well, let's find out if that holds true for our boy Andrew, who's on line three, because he used to date a Victoria's Secret model.
Oh.
Well, she wasn't a model then, but she is now one of the most famous in the world. Andrew, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for holding on, dude.
Morning, fellas. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Hey, by the way, before we get into these, we should just mention, we haven't checked these people's stories, so celebrities, we don't know if this is true, but we're going to go for it anyway.
I want to believe Andrew. All right. Who's the Victoria's Secret model, and how long ago did you date her?
I was in grade school. Her name is Lily Aldridge.
You're in grade school? That's even before she got good.
Long before. She was definitely the ugly duckling who became quite the swan, let me tell you. But yeah, I mean, rode the Ferris wheel, held hands, all that kind of fun stuff. And then,
How old?
Oh, I was 13, 14.
13, 14.
Wow. Now, did you stay in touch with her as she blossomed into a beautiful young teenager?
Every now and then, a couple guys, my buddy and I, we still live together, and we knew her from grade school, like I said. And she'll, you know, we'll shoot her a text, like, hey, just saw young people, blah, 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 blah. But
when was the last time you saw her?
I'd say probably 5 years ago. She hooked us up with concert tickets one time when she was dating the guy from Incubus prior to Caleb.
And isn't she? Yeah, Caleb. Now, for folks who don't recognize the name of Lily Aldridge, she's the one who's marrying Caleb Folliwell, the Kings of Leon, this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, she's marrying the Kings of Leon, dude. She could have stuck around with Andrew, married him.
She could have had all that Andrew has to offer.
She could have had all this.
Exactly. All right. Very good, Andrew. Thank you very much for the call. At least he dated her before she was super hot.
Before she was hot, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's got to make it a little bit easier. Although, if he'd have dated her when she was like 20, at least he could have had some of that before he let her go.
The picture of Jessica Alba, though, she's either junior or senior in high school and looks exactly the same as she is today.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Let's try Anne Marie, please, line one, 1-800-520-1067, if you dated them before they were famous. Anne Marie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. What's your story?
So I dated Nikki Sixx before Motley Crue blew up.
No.
And he was like an awesome guy. Totally sweet, gentleman. When he lived over in Sherman Oaks on Valley Vista.
How about that? So how long were you guys together?
We're only together like 4 months. It was right before Girls, Girls, Girls blew up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, bye-bye me. And I bought him these candles. Bought him these candles as a gift, sort of as a record release thing from this store in Hollywood called Panpipes. And there were black cat candles, and he said that, like, all this bad, these bad things started happening to him. So he called me the blonde-haired devil psycho witch.
Sweet! At least he turned on you hard. That's good.
Yeah, he did turn on me hard.
Love
it. I see him. I still see him every now and again, and he's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, hey, it's pretty good.
That's awesome.
No regrets. He was a hot, hot guy, nice guy. Cool guy, wasn't a jerk, you know.
Awesome.
Dating 10 other people while he was dating you?
Whatever.
Probably I didn't put out, you know.
So. What?
Well, you're not going to keep any man, much less someone in Motley Crue, if you're not putting out. Right. Come on, Anne-Marie.
Right.
Wow, you kept her for 4 months without putting out? That's amazing.
She's pretty great.
It's a record.
He was a great guy. He probably was, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate that. Let's try Chad. Chad's on line 7, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. You dated him before they were famous. Hi, Chad. Thanks for calling.
What's
up, guys?
Hi.
So
I dated Adrina back when she was still in high school. I had already graduated.
Adrina Patridge?
Yeah, Adrina Patridge.
Wow, good call.
Yeah, it was all right.
Now, how surprised, when did you guys break up?
It was
long before the hills?
Before the hills. It was like a year before the hills.
So what was it like for you when you started seeing promos on MTV for their new reality show called The Hills and you saw Adrina pop up on your TV? Did it just blow your mind?
Well, I kind of had a prequel to it because her parents and everybody knew before I broke up, because I still hung out with the family. I was a good friend of the family for a while. So I hung out with them for a while after we even broke up and knew before. It was
filming a reality show at the, before it aired?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know if it was going to be as popular as it was.
I had no idea it was going to blow up like it did.
Right.
What's the deal with why she's always looking up at the ceiling? Can you answer that question for us?
I can't, dude. And that was probably one of the reasons why it didn't work out so well.
Really? It's so funny. Every one of these stories, the guy's going, yeah, broke it off. Yep. It was me. You got dumped, didn't you? Be honest, Chad.
It definitely wasn't me breaking up with her, though, but it didn't help that I wasn't that into her, you know?
Yeah, I got you. All right, man. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Do we have time?
We want to do both.
All right, let's start with Jennifer time. Then. Right. Let's go to Jennifer, line 4. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Who'd you date before he or she was famous?
Eric Winter.
Still not famous.
Eric Winter.
He was in Brothers and Sisters. He had an arc on Brothers and Sisters.
He was also in The Ugly Truth with Katherine Heigl and Gerard Butler.
Yep. He's pretty good looking. You'd recognize him if you saw his picture.
Would we? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Would you say he's a celebrity, Lisa?
He's a minor celebrity.
So he's underage? How long ago?
He was then.
Okay, I was going to ask how long ago it was. Was it in high school?
It was in like 93.
93, okay.
So long ago, and he's such a minor celebrity that it probably doesn't bother you at all to see him on your TV now, right?
No, not at all.
All right.
None of that bothers me. The thing that bothered me the worst about it was that after I went out with him, I met another guy in his circle of friends that I really liked. And when that guy found out that I dated Eric, he dropped me because he was Eric's friend.
Sure. Bros before hoes. I mean, that's how it works.
So it's nothing apparently but a big mistake to date this Eric guy, I guess.
Well, I mean, now it doesn't matter because, you know, it was ancient history and
of course.
But when he came through the door, did you say, yeah, Eric?
Thank you for the call, Jennifer. We appreciate it. Eric Winter. Elizabeth, line 2. Thank you for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You dated who before he was famous?
Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz.
Tell us about that.
Did he still have the dreads and not wash them for a year or whatever?
When was it?
A lot of people think he's hot. Yeah. When was it?
It was 1981, Beverly Hills High School, and he was a total prepster. And he would bring his guitar to the quad and sing for the girls, and he was so hot.
Wow. Now, when did he break out? When did his first album come out that kind of made him a star? How long after that?
Gosh, you know what? I don't know, like way after that.
It was for a few years, though. But were you surprised at all to see how famous he got?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, he was good and everything, but I was pretty surprised. And then he completely changed to his bad boy image. But,
How different was his life in high school than ours? He used to show up with a guitar and serenade the girls
and
in the quad.
And they loved it.
And they loved it.
Wow. Good looking guy. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Elizabeth. All right. We got time for maybe just two more real quick. Let's try Danny, line 5. Hi, Danny. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Who'd you date before he or she was famous? Oh, we just lost Danny.
Oh.
Danny used to go out with Fergie.
Oh, wow.
But then she gets famous. Now you regret it. Then she pees herself and you go, all right, I'm good.
I'm good. Yeah.
I'm glad we broke up.
Leslie. Hi, Leslie. Thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Who'd you date?
I dated some shady, a.k.a. Eminem, a.k.a. Marshall Mathers.
No way. Really? Kevin is so jealous right now. Kevin wants to date Eminem.
Were you in Detroit?
No, actually here in California, I'm going to say it was 96, about 1998, I met him outside of the House of Blues in Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, so after he was already hugely famous.
Actually, he was performing there for the Lyricist Lounge Tour, and he was just barely getting his whole thing started with My Name Is, so yeah.
Oh, how about that? Wow. So I'm dying to hear more about this because we're all so fascinated with Eminem. what was he like back then? Was he super moody and introspective and kind of antisocial, or was this before all that kicked in for him?
He was actually very moody, and he talked a lot of smack, but in reality, he was actually a pretty cool guy. He wasn't, like, you know, how the hype is about, like, oh, drugs. He was doing drugs. I'm not going to say he wasn't. But at the same time, he was very down-to-earth and very polite and respectful to women, which was the contrary on his lyrics.
Sure. Yeah, right.
So,
why do you think it broke up?
It had to do with his ex-girlfriend in Detroit, Kim, that he kept going back and forth.
Sure.
And I just didn't want to get involved. So,
Did you ever?
Lots of drama.
If we were to ask Eminem, would he say he ever dated you?
I'm sure he remembers for a certain reason, and I'd rather not say that over the
air. Oh, that's all we want to know now. You know tricks.
Yeah, but it could be a bad certain reason, too, so yeah. I'm not going to probe too deeply on this one. Yeah,
right. I'm not going to put him up like that, but yes, I'm sure.
All right,
he would.
Leslie. Appreciate the call. Thank you for sharing that with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bye-bye. Have we seen the Ace Man yet? Is he here?
Nope.
Okay. Because, you know, Adam, he's 50-50 anyway. I just would feel a little better if he were in the building. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not going to be able to make it in today. I just do it on the phone.
Adam Carolla joins us, we hope, after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records. He doesn't have time for our BS anymore, all right? He's too big for
most canceled appearances?
No, that's
could
not
be.
It.
Oh, okay.
First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Adam's former roommate, Ralph Garman.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I have some passes to give away to a very, very special event that happens, I think, I want to say tonight.
It happens tonight.
Tonight! It is the red carpet world premiere of The Hangover Part 2.
Yay!
You got your Ed Helms, you got your Bradley Cooper, your Zach Galifianakis, your Ken Jeong.
Hey!
It's all happening tonight at Grauman's Chinese Theater in beautiful downtown Hollywood. This is the big deal. This is the red carpet world premiere. This is what you hear about and read about in newspapers and magazines. This is all the celebrities going to see the movie for the first time ever in public. You will attend with them if you're one of the first two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Call now, and if you're lucky enough, you will be going this evening with all the hoi polloi of Hollywood.
What's going on in Kevin's head right now? He doesn't like screenings, doesn't want to go to screenings, yet The Hangover 2 is the most anticipated movie in his lifetime. Can he wait a whole extra day to see it, or is he gonna brave it and go tonight?
If only he was around to ask.
Is it a day or a week? Does it come out this Friday or next Friday?
I think it comes out tomorrow. Doesn't it?
I don't know. I think it's next Friday.
I think it's
the premieres are usually a week ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. Then it might be worth grinning and bearing and going tonight, Kevin.
May 27th. It's a week from Friday.
Yeah. Dude. So you know, you'd see it a whole week before everyone else.
I might have to.
Go grinning and picking, or whatever Bean just said. I don't know. Like Roy Clark was talking. That's all I know.
I completely blocked that out. I didn't hear it.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know if you heard this or not, but he had a child with another woman.
What?
Yes.
What?
It's all true.
Was this in the news?
It was in the news. Now we know why Arnold had this pang of consciousness.
Yeah. You mean why he told
her? His conscience was bothering him. He had to come forward and tell his wife, Maria Shriver, about the illicit affair and the subsequent love child. We know now why he felt this guilt, this compulsion to have to speak the truth.
That he was just because he's an honest guy.
Yes, that and because the housekeeper was going to go public with the affair.
I knew it. You know when something like that comes up that it's going to happen anyway, so they try to get out ahead of the story and do it
but
the best.
But why did she keep denying to the LA Times that he was the father then when they would call her about it?
He was, he just fired her about 4 weeks ago.
Okay. Oh, we fired her.
Yeah.
We heard she'd retired.
Yes, you did hear that, Lisa, but that's not the case.
Mm.
Things are rocky at home between Maria and Arnold.
You think?
Maria got the sense somehow, some way, that something was up with this housekeeper. Didn't like the cut of her jib.
I think women have a better sense for
they
that
know
than
something's
guys.
Something's up.
They don't know what, maybe, but
it's a
they
disturbance
do.
In the force kind of thing. So Arnold, in order to smooth things over, fires the housekeeper. This becomes what RadarOnline.com is calling a nuclear blow-up between her and Arnold.
Uh-oh.
This woman, it was incensed that after 2 decades of service, she's being summarily dismissed.
And service, a little more service than most.
Giggity.
So she was furious that he would fire her after all this time, and she was making noise to Arnold that she was going to go public with the whole situation. Now, she didn't. The LA Times came to her. She kept denying, but she was holding that over his head. So I guess he thought, I'd better get in front of this.
I'll do it. I mean it.
And
talk to you tomorrow.
Tell Maria first. So now we know why he was so honest after 10 years, 13 years of lying, was because he kind of had to.
Look, Arnold is so powerful and so rich. Why couldn't he have her killed?
What kind of question is that?
I'm just saying. You got to look at all the options on the table.
That's not on the table for most people.
And while we're talking about people we'd like to have killed, Gwyneth Paltrow's in the news.
How dare you?
Apparently,
I love my sweet
stop
Winnie.
Stop with the bell.
She was on the Graham Norton Show, my favorite TV talk show. It's on BBC America. If you don't watch it on Saturday nights, it's so very funny. He is really talented, and the guests, they drink on stage, you know, which helps loosen things up a little
That's sweet.
So Gwyneth Paltrow was there, and they started talking about her love of rap music. Shut up.
She sure is a musician now.
Oh, she sure is. She is so, quite the songstress, and not only that, but she's a rapper now, too, Kevin. You want to hear her
Yes.
bust a few rhymes?
Yes.
You want to hear her do a little N.W.A.?
Wait, this is Gwyneth Paltrow?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes.
And a little taste of Straight Outta Compton.
Is it true that you're a huge fan of 90s hip-hop?
Yes.
Let me test you.
Oh, God.
So if I said to you, Straight Outta Compton...
Yes.
What would you say?
I'd say a classic N.W.A. album. You want me to...
Do you know the lyrics? Do you know the lyrics?
Yeah. Here's a little something better, like me. Never should have been let out the penitentiary. Ice Cube, I'd like to say that I'm a crazy mother from around the way.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Nothing like spoiled, snooty, rich, white broads spouting a little Straight out of Compton to make your skin crawl. Someone should bust a cap in her ass.
But
all
at least it sounded like she was trying to be funny, and she wasn't, like, she doesn't really think she's a rapper.
Be funny when there's a drive-by in Brentwood, yo. That'd be funny, too.
I wonder how many times she's been to Compton. Never.
Not once. You can't spell Compton. I think Compton was the name of her butler when she was growing up.
Oh, Compton, could you please put out the tea service? We're having Spielberg over. Compton. Oh, Compton.
Today's celebrity birthday is Peter Mayhew, who is 67 years old today. Pete Townsend celebrates his...
That's right, he was Chewbacca.
He was Chewbacca in the Star Wars movies. Pete Townsend, 66 years old today. Actress, model, singer Grace Jones is 59. Drummer Phil Rudd of AC/DC, 57. And Celtic forward Kevin Garnett celebrates his 35th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Who's ready to get it on?
Yeah.
Who wants to get it on? Who's got to get it on? It's mandatory to get it on. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ace Man is here. Adam Carolla joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show from the Adam Carolla Fine Family of Podcasts. You can see him on stage Saturday night with his life partner Jimmy Kimmel and the sports guy Bill Simmons at the Wiltern Theater, which has got to be one of the biggest rooms you've ever played, Adam.
Well, it is out here. That's the whole thing. Like, if I go to your town, Seattle, you play the Moore Theater, and that's like 1,900 seats, and the Schnitzer in Portland and all that stuff.
Oh, the Schnitzer's good.
It is good.
Oh, I like
good
Schnitzer
over there. But, by the way, they all have names, these other places. The Moore Theater, that's where they did that Pearl Jam video where Vedder was, like, hanging from the rafters.
Sure.
And then the Schnitzer, you make fun of the Schnitzer, but at least it has a name, the Wiltern.
It's the Wiltern.
It's the Wiltern because it's on Wilshire and Western.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's funny.
I've lived here my whole life, and I just figured that out. It's on Wilshire and Western.
How did you just figure that out, Adam?
Did you know
How
that
have you never heard of that? Yeah.
I never heard
I
of
thought
it.
Everybody knew that.
It's one of these things where, you know, a thing at some point, you're just sitting on an airplane, and somehow you're dozing off, and then it pops in your head, Sundance Film Festival. Wait a minute. Robert Redford's character was named Sundance. And then you turn to the person next to you, and you go, did you ever know? And they go, of course I knew that. And you go, me too. I'm doing what's called polite survey. I'm looking for idiots on the airplane.
Look, it's happened to me too. Look, everybody has those blind spots of things they just didn't put two and two together. Kevin, you remember the day that I came in and I was shocked that news radio was about people in radio? I had never seen the show in all the years that it was on.
And there's clue in the title.
And I was blown away. Why didn't you guys tell me that news radio was about people working in a radio station? I would have watched it. They were like, "You, of course, you're an idiot." Well, I guess I missed that one, but at least I heard about the Wiltern. But you can't find them all out.
Someone should put together a master list of, like, Arby's, you know, roast beef, which I never thought of Arby's being connected to roast beef when it came to that. Evidently, it is.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. We'd have to check my cow sources on that. The point is, I have a long laundry list of even, like, the Beatles. I always thought they were the Beatles, like the bugs, you know, like, just the Beatles, not the beat, you know. I didn't know. Check the spelling.
It was about the beat?
Well, it's spelled
different. But didn't they
call them?
They called themselves the Beatles because they loved the crickets, right?
And they wanted to be like the bug. Differently than Beetle?
Right.
Because Beetle is two E's, right?
Two E's, right, yeah,
and this is B-E-A, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the change-up is.
They're the Beatles.
I've never asked myself any of these questions. That's why they said it, the Beatles.
Well, it's, why would they spell it beat? They like the Crickets. Why don't they spell it? They like Buddy Holly's band so much. Here's my point.
All right.
I was saying last night on Kimmel, and you have to do a little math here, but I was saying how wildly uncreative it is to name your theater on the corner that it was erected.
Sure.
And how I know it's convenient, but it's not like somebody says, where's the Staples Center? And then everyone goes, well, if it's not on Staples Street, I can't find it. Kobe's driving in circles around Los Angeles looking for Staples Street. No, we do it with the Greek Theater and the, you know, Irvine Amphitheater. Like, it's pretty easy, right? We don't have
every stadium in the country has a different name. Usually it's a sponsor, so it doesn't really tie in.
But I said, imagine if they built the Wiltern on the corner of Pico in Venice.
Then it would be penis?
It would be the penis. It would have to be. They would have, by their own rules, it would be penis theater. And then on Saturday night, I would be playing the penis.
Oh, that'd be so much better.
With Jimmy Kimmel.
Again.
That'd be so much better. Yes. Like you haven't played the penis with Jimmy Kimmel before. Listen, let's talk about last night with Adam Carolla here on the Kevin DeBean Show today. The reason you made an appearance on Jimmy's show, and I was very impressed with this, because we all know that Jimmy is a big star and his program is highly rated on ABC. Sure. And he can get actual celebrities.
Right.
Usually the only time you see Carolla is if somebody cancels at 3:30 in the afternoon. They call up the Ace Man and they go, hey, what do you got? Can you come down? Am I right about that, Adam?
Yeah. Okay. Booty call.
But last night you were there for a reason, because it was an extraordinarily significant day for you as you entered the Guinness Book of World Records. Here's the tape from last night's Jimmy Kimmel show with our friend Adam Carolla.
Adam, we asked the representatives from the Guinness Book to come down here personally to present you with this award, but they declined. Mm-hmm. And so instead, we got a girl in a bikini. Go ahead.
I am here to award the Adam Carolla show with the Guinness record for most downloaded podcasts in the world.
And then Adam proceeded to start a USA, USA chant, and all was well. You were describe the outfit that you were wearing last night on the show.
Uncle Sam.
That's
normally,
right.
The problem is Ricky Gervais had this record.
For a long time,
Yeah, in communist England. And my thing is...
I don't think it's communist, by the way.
Sure it is.
Is it communist
check
now?
Check the RB Singh and check the communist England thing.
All right, I will.
I needed to bring that record stateside. That is our record, that podcast record. And Gervais, you know, that guy comes over here.
Can I ask you a question before you move on? Was that ever our record?
I think all records are our records, Kevin, because I'm an American.
Okay.
And those guys came, he comes over here. Well, what's he do? He gets drunk and he makes fun of our celebrities.
Yeah.
And I said as much on Kimmel last night. How would you like it, England, if we sent Larry the Cable Guy over there to make fun of Doctor Who? It wouldn't feel so good, would it? Well, that's what we feel like when you come over here and you make fun of our celebrities. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I had an uncomfortable moment on the show because I said, hey, Ricky Gervais, you're almost 50. When can we start calling you Rick? And then I turned to my right and I said, am I right, Jim? God damn it. Didn't work out. You know what I'm saying?
How many podcasts do you have to have downloaded to even be anywhere near you guys? I mean, you're obviously the biggest in the world. How many is that, Ace Man? Do you know?
I have no idea what the criteria is.
Tens of millions, though?
They have some sort of algorithm that they use. They have an official. They come out. They, like, crunch numbers. And they'll put it in the book.
All right.
And for me, that is a dream. That's a childhood dream come true, to be nestled in between the woman who would never cut her fingernails and the guy who would never shave his mustache. A lot of those records were just pure lethargy, right? Like, you know what?
Sure.
I don't feel like shaving today. Next
thing
you know, 9 years goes by and you have the world's longest beard.
Now, does it matter that Gervais does like one podcast a month and you do like 20 a day?
They somehow factor that
they
in.
They do. Okay.
And I don't know all the factors that are there, but they crunched the numbers and we came out number one. And it goes in the book.
Fantastic.
Do you ever feel the pressure, Ace Man? I think I know the answer to this, but I mean, you're sitting on a couch talking into a microphone and hundreds of thousands of people are going to hear it. And you do so many of them. I can't imagine you have that much time to really give much forethought or preparation to each podcast.
I can answer that. Adam needs no forethought. Adam can start talking about something.
Is there ever a time where you go, I got nothing? I don't know what I'm going to talk about today when I turn on this mic.
Do you know who you're talking to?
I'm just asking. It's amazing to me.
I normally, Well, it started a million years ago with Loveline when we would start the show either on MTV or here at K-Rock, and I would say to Drew, who's the guest? I mean, but after the show started, and
sure.
Drew wouldn't know either, to be fair to him, but he didn't have to interview them.
Yeah.
No, actually and honestly, I never prepare. I never think about it. I usually don't know who I'm talking to or what I'm going to talk about.
That's the difference between you and I is I prepare, and still don't know who I'm talking to and who I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, see, it's a jinx.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, I am going to meet with Albert Brooks for one full hour and sit down with him one-on-one for an hour. And I actually flirted with preparing.
Did because you're in the presence of a comedy guy.
Yeah,
you don't want to embarrass yourself.
I might think about something before that.
But you're not going to prepare. You just thought that maybe you should. No, but I flirted.
We flirted. Okay. I looked at her thigh when the wind blew her skirt up.
Uh-huh. Wasn't it good enough thigh to follow up?
All right, let me ask you this, Ace Man, because I know that you believe reading is for losers, even though you've written a best-selling book.
I believe it poisons the mind.
Did you go so far knowing that you're interviewing Albert Brooks? And the only reason he's giving the interview is he's pushing his book that's out there right now. Did you go so far as to read his book before the interview?
No, but when I was in Kimmel's office last night,
yes.
I saw the book on Kimmel's table.
And you flirted with picking it up?
No, I did not touch the book because it burns my hand. Written words burn my hand. But I said to Jimmy, did you read the book? And
good.
He said, I read the first half. And I said, how
tell
is it?
Yeah.
He said, pretty good. And I said, all right. Research done.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you become the most downloaded podcaster in the world. Our guest is Adam Carolla. See him on stage at the Wiltern Saturday night with his friend Jimmy Kimmel and his friend Bill Simmons. More with the Ace Man when we return on the Kevin and Bean. Our friend Adam Carolla here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Always a treat to catch up with the Ace Man. This Week in Rage coming up in about 15 minutes. But first, Adam, since you're here and you know all and see all, what do you
make
of these?
Wait, does he know all and see all?
I smell most.
Wow.
He's the smartest guy I personally know. Right. What do you make of this jackhole in Oakland who is claiming that it's not a question. The world absolutely ends. The apocalypse begins Saturday, May 21st, and he can verify that with his interpretation of the Bible, and he says it's going to be happening. The rapture is on the way. What do you make of what he's saying, and how are you planning to spend the last 48 hours you have?
Well, I was going to do a show at the Wiltern, but now I'm going to rape Jessica Alba. So I got to get my assistant on the phone.
That's a big change in plans.
Well, I mean, if it is going to be, you know, first off, rules are rules.
Sure.
And this is one of the rules I've always made, you know, to myself, if there's ever a comet heading for the planet. You know, if I ever had 48 hours heads up, I'd have to go find her.
All right.
So that we got to take care of.
Okay,
so evidently, well, that's just A.
That's all. Okay. Now, we talked to one of the guys from that church, and then he said, oh, yeah, it's happening on Saturday. It's going to be an earthquake that's unmeasurable. Bean said 10. He said, no, unmeasurable. So we said, how about if we talk to you on Monday then?
Mm-hmm.
And the official word back was they're not doing interviews on Monday for obvious reasons.
Sure, of course.
So,
of just course. Like Schwarzenegger's not doing interviews. That's going to be humiliating.
What do you make of these people? And they come along every few years that are convinced that the world is going to end. Is some of it just they have visions of grandiosity for themselves and they want to be the one to spread this word and they also want to be the one to be alive to see this cataclysmic event? Is that part of it? Or are they just crazy?
Well, yes. There's that thing where there's that grandiosity where you think everything's going to happen on your watch or it's because of you
And he's been preaching for 15 years and no one's paid attention. All of a sudden he says the world's going to end. They're all like, huh?
But it's our fault for talking to crazy people. I mean, there's crazy all over the world and all over the place. I mean, you walk down the street and there's guys pushing shopping carts, dragging dogs that are tied off with lamp cords behind them with bandanas on them.
Right.
And they're screaming about Paul Revere and the Raiders. And you don't engage them, though. You don't let me get my steno pad.
You always engage
them. So what are you
them.
Talking about? Aliens are going to come across the border from Tijuana? Hold on. Slow down. Let me get this straight.
You don't take them seriously, but you always engage. That's my rule.
But there's so many. I realize, like, in life, there's full-blown, I think I'm Napoleon and I'm running around and someone's chasing me with a butterfly net.
Right.
And then there's Dr. Drew. You know what I mean? Like, on just sort of the spectrum. spectrum of crazy versus sane.
Right.
And then we all land somewhere in between. But I find myself as somebody who's a little closer to Dr. Drew and a little further away from the guy who thinks he's Napoleon. By the way, remember when being crazy meant thinking you were Napoleon and having a guy chase you with a butterfly net? It was a simpler time.
I have no idea what that means.
Not crazy people stab people with a rebar for no reason on a subway. You know what I mean? No, it used to be you were crazy, so you thought you were some historical figure. That's who it was.
And the most menacing thing was a butterfly.
Well, you would, no, you couldn't stab anyone on the subway because you were constantly being chased by guys in white suits with giant butterfly nets. That's how they would catch you. Well, how else are you going to catch a crazy person?
Well, I don't know. I don't have that answer.
Well, you can't use, you can't use a bear trap to get them. That's going to hurt them. The point is this. Everybody is either, bat-ass crazy. We all know just rambling lunatic. And then there's Dr. Drew. I mean, you look at these sort of spectrum. We are all living in a little more up toward the Dr. Drew part.
We'd like to think we are.
I think society would suggest we are. We hold down jobs. We don't spout too many crazy things. We pay our taxes. Why do we engage with the people that are down wearing the Napoleon outfits? That's the thing. They're coming at us with crazy stuff, and we're going, but you don't understand. And they go, you're all doomed for hell. And we're going to go picket we're going to go write the gay signs up there and go picket the military veterans. Yeah. The funeral and all that stuff. And we're like, but what? See, we use our sane brains to try to put it into their crazy skulls. Really, we should round them up and kill them. Or certainly...
we could ship them to an island.
Treat them like a super ugly chick at a party that you don't want to get anywhere near. But why are we going over there going, why won't you listen to me? And they're going, you don't understand Leviticus 5. And you're like, but no, but then... And you start using those examples.
Yeah, you're right.
You try to use examples and they don't listen. Why are we engaging them? That's the thing.
You blame not only the Kevin and Bean show, but all the media outlets over the past couple of months who have given this Harold Camping guy have given him the time to spew his nonsense. Basically, we should have just ignored him, and this wouldn't have been a big deal.
Well, we agree he's crazy, right?
Yes.
Thus, end of conversation. Okay. We do not have to engage him.
See,
he's nuts.
You and I are different. I engage forever. I could talk to him forever, but I don't take him seriously. That's the thing is people start acting on it, and they get scared. The emails, they go, oh, no, end of the world. We're like, what are you talking about? They were crazy. They believe it.
And did he give us a time, or is it at midnight on Friday night, or how does that work?
Oh, we didn't even ask. Bean, we're bad interviewers.
That does make a difference, because especially with your plan, Adam. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Alma,
do you have Saturday morning?
She could be in Canada shooting, or New Mexico. I mean, I got to hop on a flight. If it's going to come out of the sky, I got to know.
Do you have a backup?
Hop on a stewardess.
If you can't find Alma, it's just whoever's near you,
well,
I guess.
Then it becomes an 18-foot range thing, Bean.
I see.
So steer clear.
All right, Adam Carolla is here. See him on stage at the Wiltern Theater this Saturday night with Bill Simmons and Jimmy Kimmel. It's going to be a great, great show. So why not go? You can get all the details on that and the Adam Carolla Fine Family podcast at adamcarolla.com. This Week in Wage. This Week in Wage would not be nearly as interesting as what Adam has planned after this on the Kevin and Bean. Here's your answer, Ace Man, so you can make your ABBA plans. Apparently, it's 6 p.m. East Coast, 3 p.m. Pacific on Saturday. That's end of the world time.
Oh, so saying 3 p.m.?
Mm-hmm. 3 p.m. Saturday. So you got until then to get your plan in effect, okay?
All right. I can get troops on the ground.
You leave right now.
I got legwork. A lot of work. So let's do 2 week in rages.
So only top two?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could do 3 if we just kind of move it along. But again, I got to get things moving.
Okay. It's time for This Week
in Rage.
This is the last ever Adam Carolla This Week in Rage on the Kevin and Bean Show, I guess, since this is one of the very last Kevin and Bean shows ever.
Well, either that or I'll be in prison. I mean, I look at it that way.
The world doesn't end. That's right. Either way.
You know, there's a 2 or 3% chance that the world does not end, in which case I'll be apprehended and they'll probably be needing this tape.
That chance may be higher than 2 or 3%.
Whatever it is, I'm going to roll the dice. You know what I'm saying? And I'll use this as a viable defense,
Which is you thought the world was going to end.
You know what I mean? Well, come on. And I'll do that thing where I show a picture of her from that movie where she was, pirate and she was swimming underwater all the time and, trying to get cocaine from a, plane that was in the Caribbean.
Right.
And I'll go, hey, Judge, come on. If you thought the world was going to end in 19 hours, give me a break.
And the judge will say, fine.
Yeah. We'll probably go up top. I'll probably do that up top thing. I'm assuming.
Oh, that's a good assumption.
You know what I mean?
That's a good assumption.
I'm letting it ride.
All right.
Where were we?
We were just starting This Week in Rage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, first off, number three, working our way down to number one. Traveling a lot, getting a lot of the coffee in the hotel rooms. They got the little coffee maker, and they got the little packet, and they got that little donut, that little gauze hat of coffee that you get, that little gauze yarmulke filled with you, man. First off, the packaging in that bad boy. 45% of the time when I tear the cellophane off the thing, I also tear the gauze yarmulke that's inside the thing. Every sure. Just tear it, and then coffee goes, it's all over there. It's a coffee dust storm in there, but that's number one. Number two, 50-50 on the decaf and the regular. I feel like that we've created a society where when you go into a hotel room, they got one packet of regular coffee and one packet of decaf. Or when you have like a business meeting, there's one pot of regular, right. One pot of decaf. But we're not 50-50 on this. Like if you talk to Starbucks, it's not like people go into Starbucks and go, about half the people in here order a decaf. No, I would say it would be less than 5% of the pussies that go in there and get a decaf. What's somebody says, I want a coffee, they're not talking about a decaf. They're talking about coffee.
Because they need a boost.
They need a boost. Yeah. And all I'm saying is if you're laying out a hotel, there should be five regular coffees and one decaf marked puss, by the way. Very clearly that's between the mattress and the box spring. But I'm just saying, what I do is I'll drink the coffee that night sometimes. If I'm doing a show, I'll go like, I'm tired, I'm jet lagged, I'm having... And then the next morning, I'm left with the decaf thing. It is not a 50-50 world. If you're throwing a party, do not have one pot of regular and one pot of decaf. Have eight pots of regular and one thimble of decaf. Marked puss.
And then everyone must call them that.
Clearly marked puss.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Number two, the Eurythmics. Feel like
how could you be upset with the Eurythmics?
You know why? Because I was driving my car the other day and I heard that Sweet Dreams song,
right.
And I thought these dudes are causing more harm than good at this point. These Eurythmic dudes
are they still causing trouble though?
That song, 1983, that Sweet Dreams song came out.
Right.
It's been almost 30 years, and I feel like I've been punished by that song for 30 years. I've heard that song 2 million times. I know every word of that song. I cannot find a human being who likes that song. Nobody likes that song. Annie Lennox hates that song. I want to drive into oncoming traffic when I hear that song, but yet it never ends, and it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't have a beat, and it doesn't have a hook, and it blew the then and it blows now and it won't go away. It's like shingles. It won't go away, and there's no cream I can rub on it to get rid of that god awful Sweet Dreams song. Do you know a person who'd ever like gone on a road trip and said, don't forget the Sweet Dreams song? If we're going to see the Grand Canyon, I'm gonna need some music.
No, I really don't know anyone.
I will tell you that. I mean, let's just take a scientific survey with the five of us in the room. If that song comes on your radio, each of you, would you listen to it, or could you not hit that button fast enough? I'm with the Ace Man on this.
No,
one.
I'm out.
Lisa, how about you?
I'm okay.
Tammy,
with it.
You're such a bitch.
It's all right, though, because Tammy's always the opposite of us.
Of course. What a shocker. Yeah. Passive aggressive. Blame stepdad. All right, let's move forward. I've sat next to Drew long enough to understand Tammy's and the Tammy's of the world. Air travel. I know I've complained about this just a little bit on this show. But, you know, we have all the extra talk I like to complain about, which is, yes, sir, what I'm going to need you to do. And then there's, could you do this for me? And there's a lot of for me, and I don't like the for me part. I feel like that's an unnecessary part of the conversation.
They're inserting themselves into the role of...
The guy standing there with the wand that detects metal in the ATF windbreaker, and he tells me to turn around for him.
Right.
I can do the math on who I'm turning around for. Who am I turning around for? Liza Minnelli? Who? I need a name. Where is this person? Are they in state? Is it Jessica Alba? Who am I turning?
Unfortunately, it's never Jessica Alba.
And I don't need the go ahead either. Hey, could you go ahead and turn around for me right now? I don't need the right now. When? Should we pencil this in? Should I get my assistant on the phone? Let me open my calendar. What are we talking, March? I'm a summer myself, so I don't want to turn around. I mean, could you go ahead and turn around for me right now? And then the guy goes, real quick. Which The other thing is, like, as I'm turning around, he goes, real quick, what does that mean?
It means don't take your time. Don't lollygag.
I had to process real quick and just added 5 seconds to the whole thing. I'm turning around. How long could it take to get 180 degrees away from you?
So forget the pleasantries. Just turn around. That's all you want to hear.
I'm
just
good
turn
with
around.
That. And when I was traveling last week, my buddy Mike walked through the metal detector prematurely. And
oh, you can't do that.
Got the get back, but got the three get backs. Get back, get back, get back. As if you just heard the one get back and went, I'm going to do a shoulder roll and dive through the window. I heard you the first time, bitch. Let me get back. What is the get back, get back, get back for me right now? Okay, for me, real quick. Just stop all the extra cop talk.
A lot of wasted words.
Adam has been traveling too much. The boy needs some time off. He needs to stay at home. That's what's happening here.
And Les Elvis out of the country.
That's right. Saturday night at the Wiltern with Jimmy Kimmel and Bill Simmons. It's Adam Carolla on stage. Don't miss June 2nd at the House of Blues in San Diego. And then Saturday, June 4th at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. Go to adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, if we never see you again, man, thanks for all the years of entertainment. We've enjoyed it.
Good times. Deny my dear.
It's a world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:56. Why did Starbucks fire the dwarf? That's the story coming up next half hour.
That is a good joke.
I saw Henry Youngman do that in 78.
It was awesome.
No, not a joke. It's actually a story that's in the news that's caused quite a firestorm, and I believe a lawsuit. So we will discuss coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I would like to give away some passes right now if you are a fan of The Hangover.
Do it.
By the way, Hangover, best-selling comedy DVD of all time. Not only the highest-grossing R-rated comedy in history, but the best-selling comedy DVD of all time. How about that?
I will take all of your apologies now.
Best movie ever made. A lot of people like The Hangover.
Best movie ever made.
None of us ever said it wasn't great, Kevin. We just said it's not the best movie ever made. That's not a slight on The Hangover. It's a great movie.
Maybe you'd like to see The Hangover Part 2, as they say en français. Well, I've got passes to give away. Three pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. You'll be going to the red carpet world premiere held at Grauman's Historical Landmark Theater in Hollywood. It's happening tonight, so make sure you can go tonight. 1-800-520-1067. First three callers get a pair of passes. Bum. Just that easy. Welcome to Bum Town. Speaking of movies, I got to see Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides last night.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the IMAX screen.
Sweet.
In 3D.
Sweet.
It's pretty spectacular.
Was it shot in 3D or is it one of those that was transferred or whatever they call it?
You're a stickler, aren't
I'm
you?
Just
you're
asking.
A very particular fella, aren't you?
Because I went to see Priest last weekend.
Yes.
It was good in 3D, but it looked like it was just added on after they shot the movie.
I believe that this was also converted, as they say. But there are many scenes in the film that are shot, obviously, with 3D in mind.
Okay. How was it?
It was very entertaining, but the reason I bring it up is that IMAX 3D, the biggest screen on the world, biggest Kevin's head, the screen. 3D.
Yeah.
Sound system up the wazoo.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Spine-rattling bass notes. I mean, just the full experience. Dave the King of Mexico was at the screen last night. Dave, what'd you think of the movie last night? Oh, I slept through the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Not my fault.
I said, what?
That's so Dave.
Oh, I got there a little early, and I got comfortable in the seat, and so I slept through much the whole thing, pretty much.
Sweet.
Unreal.
Wow. Hey, I took Dave to a Kiss concert. We were in the third row. He slept through most of that concert with Kiss, one of the loudest rock and roll bands in the world. He slept through it.
Did somebody order Mexican?
We got to hook him up to some kind of machine. There has to be some sort of test. He needs an MRI or something. I think he's got a problem. I think there's misfiring synapses there.
His problem is his schedule. He does 3 weeks worth of living in it every week.
Listen.
It's not possible
to do. I could drink every night. I could party. I could do whatever. But if I'm in a room with a 90-foot Johnny Depp screaming in my face, I'm not going to be able to sleep. It's not going to happen.
Right.
I'm not going to take a two-hour nap.
I think I can see that.
With bombs going off and pirate ships attacking and sword fights, it's just I'm not sleeping.
Your chair shaking.
It's not happening. Yeah. Oh, I slept pretty much through the whole thing.
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
Let's make a note that he doesn't get to go to any more screenings that take up a valuable seat from somebody who might watch it just because he wants a nap.
It is funny to hear you describe the technology involved in that movie last night when you know that Dave will eventually watch this movie on his iPod.
That's true, yeah. He'll watch it on his watch. He's got like a little screen about the size of an inch.
Oh, I wasn't that impressed.
It didn't look that good.
Speaking of pirates, Johnny Depp tells Us Weekly magazine that Penelope Cruz is quite the guy's girl. It's great sense of humor and quite raunchy, he said.
She must have brothers. She must have brothers.
She must. Johnny says she taught him the raunchiest Spanish words he's ever known.
All right.
I can't bring myself to repeat them, he said to the reporter. That's how rough her Spanish cursing is.
Sweet.
I would like to know those
I
words.
I would, too.
I bet they're interesting.
Somebody email them to us if you haven't.
Get her
on. Just got a text from Dave. He's going to The Hangover 2 tonight.
Oh, I cannot wait to sleep through it.
I need some more rest.
It's going to be great. I will have a nap. With
I did
Ed
not stay
Helms.
Awake until they got when they got to Thailand. I was already asleep. I don't know what.
Oh, Zach Galifianakis was in front of me, but I slept.
I'm not kidding. Let's not let him go to screenings. There are people who would.
I'm
eat
going.
That
you can't
up.
Stop me.
There are people who.
It's
eat
not
that.
My fault.
We're dying to see it.
Yeah,
Dave's sleeping.
I know. Today's celebrity birthday is Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca in the Star Wars trilogy. You know, the good one.
Sure.
He's 67 years old today. Pete Townsend, 66.
What was that?
Is that Pete Townsend? Dusty
chewy.
Hill of
chewy again.
ZZ Top is 62. Grace Jones turns 59 years old today. Phil Rudd of AC/DC is 57. And Boston Celtics forward Kevin Garnett celebrates his 35th birthday.
Chewy, get us out of here!
What's happening right now?
I don't know, but right. I'm going to go take a nap with Dave.
Me too.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, party people. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. You know, you can call us even when we're not on the air. We always welcome your phone calls during the actual show. But if you think of something that you want to share with us, we've got the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, our voicemail, up and running 24 hours a day at 323-520-AFRO. You leave a message, we play it back on the air.
Now, I guess we're providing a service for this guy, but if we don't call him back, how does he know?
So I got nothing to say, just checking out my Bluetooth, making sure it works. Had nobody else to call.
That's sad.
That's what I'm saying. How does he know, like we heard?
That's right. A good point.
Working or not? Huh. We used to say nope.com a lot, and then we got bummed because the guy that owned it wouldn't sell it to us. So we kind of stopped.
Kevin and Bean, why you not say nope.com anymore? That is lame.edu.
I'm going to start using lame.edu. It's so bizarre. I had no idea that Afro call was coming, but somebody brought up nope.com to me a few days ago, and I thought, it's been years since I tried to buy that domain name from the guy.
You bought
I'm
it?
Try... No. What
did you buy it?
I said, it's been years since I tried to buy that domain guy for the name from that guy. So I should try again and see if now he's interested in selling it. Because back then, remember, he wanted the opening bid to be $100,000. That's where he wanted to start the discussion. And then I was going to try to whittle him down from there. So I don't know if he's come to his senses a little bit. But I think I'm going to contact him again and find out where his head's at with nope.com. Because he's still not using it for anything.
See, if you can sell it for like 50 grand and we're in.
I mean, it is a great domain name, and I would love to own it. But he was playing hardball back then.
Is the world going to end Saturday? No. Did we have somebody on the air that said it was going to? Yeah.
I'm graduating from college Saturday, and if the world ends, Bean, I'm going to beat your ass.
Wow. Before Wait, or after? Remember, Adam had his plan. He was going to say hi to Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
Well, that guy's going to say hi to you. That's all. That's all he's saying. You know how Omar makes jingles occasionally.
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Yes, because Omar can't make a jingle. Doesn't mean he should.
That's a good point. That guy's got a point. Omar's trying to start the Omar-me after right. Ralph Garman's Garmy. Now, right. I think Ralph's flows a little more off the tongue than the Omar-me, but he's got some people that are ready to follow him.
Omar, I'm ready to be part of the Omar-me. I've got my towel. I haven't taken a shower in a few days. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of guy he's looking for.
You're in. Omar screwed up, I think it was a year ago, St. Patrick's Day, when we did a live remote. And the boss heard it and said, no more live shows! Because Omar was out of control and he was playing sound effects. And
okay, Kevin and Bean, let me get this straight. First, we lose our live on-location broadcast.
because Mr. Omar Khan can't hold down his liquor and decides the reggaeton is God's gift to music. Now we have to listen to Omar calling into the Afro line every other day just to get the word lop back into the English vernacular.
Yeah.
I've got an idea. Let's start using lop, but only when we're talking about DJ Omar Khan.
Oh.
You, Omar. DJ Lop.
DJ Lop.
That works for me.
Omar is starting to be an irritant a little bit to some people. I think it may be time to turn this into the Celebrity Apprentice and fire him.
Marcus Mumford weighing in on the word lop.
Hey, did you guys hear that Mumford and Sons wanted to weigh in on lop? I do not like this word lop. It's a stupid, heavy word. If you guys keep on using it, you can go kill yourself.
No, maybe it wasn't the actual Mumford, perhaps. You know the new Adele song, Bean, that we're so in love with?
The Rolling in the Deep one?
Yeah.
Yeah, great
not,
song.
Not new, but I mean that song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this guy not so in love with it, and for a weird reason.
Hey, there's a lot of talk about this singer Adele. Yeah, talented, but everybody knows she's fat, right? Yeah, they don't support her. That's bad. Fat people should just I mean, anything, ever. Just stay home.
Well, she's a really good singer.
Can she sing if we just don't see her? Would that be okay? That album has been number one for 8 weeks in a row in this country, by the way.
Really is great.
That Adele album, yeah.
We went to the Slayer show, and we talked to people in the parking lot, and we ran into this Slayer fan.
Yeah! Yeah! Everybody! You! Eat suck your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! Dave! Dave sucks! Yeah! The king! Die, die, die! The king! Die, die, die! The king! Die, die, die! Yeah! It's not my fault! It's always your fault! Yeah! Dave, the king of Mexico! Yeah!
I think I'm down with that guy. I think I'm in with him. 323-520-AFRO. K Rock is KROQ, and it is 26 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, an interesting story in the news. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has filed a lawsuit against the Starbucks coffee company on behalf of a woman who claims she was fired from an El Paso, Texas coffee shop because she is a dwarf. Now, this is really interesting because she had been hired. They certainly knew she was a dwarf. She didn't become a dwarf in the 3 days that she was working there. They hired her and then later in the week fired her for the same reason, right?
I don't think that's possible to become a dwarf that quick.
So she must have been a dwarf So they didn't fire her because she was a dwarf. That can't be why they fired her. Let's look deeper into the story. It says,
sorry, were you going to look deeper into the story before the theme?
we can do it either way.
Go
ahead. Starbucks officials could not be reached for comment, but her version of the story is that she was hired as a barista, but then she had requested a stool or a small stepladder to help her do her job, such as working the cash register and preparing beverages, which makes a lot of sense, by the way. Of course, you need to be a little bit taller to be able to access that equipment. And they said they wouldn't give it to her. And then I don't know what happened. It turned into a fight or whatever. But they ended up firing her rather than just giving her a stool, which seems fairly reasonable accommodation to me. So this is too mysterious. And that's why we brought in an expert. And that's why now we're going to look even deeper into the story.
And now here's a little news from Kevin and Bean's It's a Small World with midget correspondent Brad Williams.
Hey, Brad.
Brad, what's going on, brother?
Well, I tell you, the dwarf world is all a Twitter about this.
Is that right?
Okay, now before we get started here, Brad, and welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's great to talk to you again. Before little people all over the world start writing us angry letters of complaints, the reason Brad is our midget correspondent is because that is how he prefers to be referred, right? Is as a midget correspondent, not as a little person. You don't like little person, right?
Not little person correspondent, not dwarf correspondent. Too vague for me. Let's just go midget. Now we all know what I'm talking about.
And you are how tall?
I am 4'4".
4'4". Oh, all right.
So lucky. Okay. So, now, are you biased on this story because you have something against dwarves?
Well, listen, I actually tried to look at this story, and I tried
very hard to side with the little person on this and, you know, the evil Starbucks Corporation. Yeah, she should get her money and all that. But I just can't do it. I can't. I have to side with Starbucks on this. I do. Because, well, first of all, Starbucks makes no, like, they don't like to hide the fact that they hate dwarves. Starbucks
what? Dwarves. What are you talking about?
They hate dwarves. One of their
what do you mean they don't hide it? You
what? One of their signs for their drinks is a tall.
That's true. That is true. They make you say tall.
Right there in the menu.
They don't have anything that's called tiny at Starbucks, that's for sure.
Tall. They don't hate black people. If they hated black people, they would have put good credit score on the menu. So they obviously hate little people. And I just don't get why she wants to work at Starbucks. Why would you want to work at a place where at your height, people are running around with boiling hot liquid and they could easily trip over you or your stool?
Yeah, at head level.
Yeah. Who wants that? I just don't get, like, why is she trying to be a Starbucks barista? There's tons of jobs that dwarves could do a lot better than that. She could be a shoe shiner. We're quite good at that. Level. I don't know why she's trying to outdo her. What's next? She's going to try to be a tuba player or something?
Sure.
Or try to play linebacker for the Denver Broncos? There's just certain jobs that little people should not do.
And that's those requiring any kind of height.
Can you imagine just trying to order a tall coffee from a dwarf?
I'd like the tall, please.
It would be a little bit awkward. I think you make an excellent point there. Well, I think there's more to this story that we haven't heard yet because it sounds like a very reasonable request that the dwarf was making. And I don't think so,
by the way. If you're putting a stool in there someplace, it's going to get tripped over. I mean,
but if you're standing at a cash register, you can stand at a cash register without getting in anybody's way and you're able to operate it. That sounds reasonable to me.
My question is, why did they hire her in the first place?
That's the mystery here. That is the mystery. If they knew it was going to be a problem, I don't get it. So
I don't think we're getting the full story about why they fired her. I don't think that they're firing her just because of the stool. I think she might have been stealing those little wooden coffee stirrers to help her build her own house.
I'm so glad you said that and not me, Brad.
Man, our midget's going to hate you. He's hated by his own people. That's why we like him.
Write me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and you can send me your hate messages.
At BradWilliamsComedy.com. Thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Thank you, Brad.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us in studio each hour at this time to take a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Oh, this Arnold Schwarzenegger story just gets better and better.
Now what?
Great stuff coming from TMZ today. Patty, as she's known to her friends, Mildred Patty Baena.
I'd go with Patty, too, over Mildred.
Yeah.
Mildred.
And you guys say that no Mildreds are hot. Come on, look at her.
She is rough. I was talking to Corolla when he came in. He said, all right, yeah, but 15 years ago, maybe she was like, no, look at these photos. Look at them. Here's her from her baby shower. This is her from before. Beastly.
Ralph, you used to have a pretty low standard when it came to the vagina, right?
Yeah.
I suspect no matter how drunk you were or how horny you were, you still would not have had sex with this woman.
And there's nothing appealing to her.
Nothing,
to
right?
me, rather. Nothing appealing about her whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah. My standards were always in question, but those from people whose standards were different than mine. I would find a lot of different things interesting in a lot of different women.
Right.
As opposed to just pure physical attraction. You know,
right.
If a girl was talented or made me laugh or something like that, I would be attracted to her. But I can't find anything in this woman that's appealing.
Right.
She...
You haven't hung out with
had
her.
A fascination with Maria Shriver.
Really?
Where apparently she would dress in Maria's clothing and wear her jewelry when Maria wasn't around.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Now it's getting creepy.
Now, wait. Are we sure that Arnold didn't ask for that before he had sex?
No.
All right.
She would wear it around town. She would put on the clothing and go out of the house wearing her jewelry and clothing.
Wow.
A friend of Patty's says when Maria would leave the house in the morning, Patty would get undressed and crawl into the marital bed that Maria had left if Arnold was still in there, and they would do the deed in the bed after Maria left.
All right.
This
is that's creepy.
Every woman with a housekeeper's worst nightmare.
This is like a movie. This is a single white female.
That's a housekeeper.
Single brown female.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, isn't that wild?
Yeah.
It gets nuttier.
Put on
nuttier.
Her clothes. I'm surprised she could fit in her clothes.
That was my thought.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was in her pants or her sports coats. Maybe scarves and that sort of thing.
You know? Right.
I'm just saying. Clothes, many different kinds of clothes.
That's true.
This story, I know we usually don't follow the Cannes Film Festival all that carefully, but this story is just making me laugh harder and harder the more I follow the story of director Lars von Trier.
Yeah.
What happened? He's got a movie called Melancholia that is up for consideration in the Cannes Film Festival this year. He has been banned from the film festival after announcing during a hilarious press conference for his new film that he was a Nazi.
Oh.
But he was joking.
He meant it to be funny?
He did.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Don't get me wrong. But at least he went on for a good solid 10 minutes on his Nazi chunk.
Oh, no.
Yeah. At least he said, for a long time I thought I was a Jew and I was happy to be a Jew. And then I met Suzanne Bier, who's a Danish and Jewish director, and I wasn't so happy. But then I found out I was actually a Nazi. My family were German. And that gave me some pleasure. What can I say? I understand Hitler. I sympathize with him a bit.
So this is him trying to joke.
Yeah.
He didn't realize no one was laughing?
No. Well, you got journalists from all over the world,
right,
sitting in the room, and everyone's got these headsets on, like it's the UN, and it's all being translated.
Oh, I see.
But so it's not a good audience for comedy in the first place.
I think,
let alone to break out your Nazi Jew chunk.
But I think the word Hitler is the same in every language, isn't it?
It really does. That's a chiller, no matter what room you're performing in. Even in the best of, even in Stuttgart, I think you're going to get a bit of a murmur if you bring up the Hitler.
Wow. He couldn't have anticipated that was going to be a sensitive topic with some people in the room. Come on.
Is it possible that you've just used some really poor judgment here?
Then he joked that his next movie might be a film version of The Final Solution, which, of course, was Hitler's plan to eliminate the Jews.
This guy's hilarious.
Then he said, no, it might, because Kirsten Dunst stars in this film. He said maybe his next project would be a project with Kirsten Dunst and her co-star, a 3 to 4 hour porn film with lots of uncomfortable sex for them.
He's a bizarre dude. I mean, I know they love him at Cannes, and he's won tons of awards in the past. They love this guy.
He's a real artsy director, and he loves to provoke. He's very sort of outspoken and loves to provoke.
They knew he was being...
Yeah, but he has gone beyond the pale when it comes to this sort of behavior. And now his movie is still up for consideration, but he has been banned from the event itself.
Well, he won't win now, right? There's no chance of that.
I don't think he will be winning the Palme d'Or, as they say.
I love that the movie is Melancholia, and by all accounts, it's just brutally sad. And he's already trying to figure out how to make a sadder movie next time.
It's about the end of the world. I don't know how much more sad you can get. It's about the end of the world on a wedding day. A young couple getting married, and then the world ends.
But he knows how to sell it.
That's true.
He brings out
Hitler in 3 hour porn films.
Sure, that's the way to make people want to see that.
Maybe you could start Arnold Schwarzenegger and Patty in the next film if you want to make it more depressing. And while we're talking about depressing subjects, Father's Day is right around the corner, folks. So I don't know if you've figured out what you're going to get for Dad yet or not, but may I suggest something from the latest line of Joe Jackson products?
Joe Jackson, Michael's father?
Father of the Jackson 5 and the Jackson clan, who would notoriously beat his sons while they rehearsed.
I did not know he had a new line.
He's got a new line of fragrances. Kevin, he's opening a line of men's fragrances.
I don't want to smell like any of the Jacksons.
His new men's cologne is called Tribute.
Tribute.
Yes.
And cool. Does he specify who they are? It's just a...
Who do you think he's paying tribute to with
Michael?
His fiance, with his fragrance?
Yeah.
And there's a ladies' fragrance out called Legend.
Okay.
Joe apparently has developed these himself. The men's fragrance smells like sweat and Afro Sheen. And the ladies' fragrance smells like sweat and Afro Sheen, oddly enough. So
that's a strange
mixture. You can find it in stores everywhere this holiday season if you're so inclined.
Who likes Joe Jackson enough to want to buy anything that he puts his name on?
That's a good question.
And the most powerful celebrities in the world. The list has been released. Forbes magazine list of 2011's Celebrity 100. This is the list of the most powerful celebrities in the world. This isn't just richest.
Okay.
But this is also in combination with media savvy, with influence. This is someone, the celebrity, who has all of it. Has all of it in large numbers. When you factor them together, they become powerful.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll give you some of the highlights of the magazine. Tyler Perry, for example, 19th on the list.
Sure.
He owns all of Atlanta now.
Yes, he does.
And, he can make any movie he wants in the world, right? Yeah.
Now, they also have the yearly income for last year for the celebrities. So
this is just 1 year.
For 1 year. Tyler Perry made last year $130 million. Okay?
Well, there's that.
There's people who made less money or higher up on the list because they've got more impact power. or more clout or whatever. But just to give you some perception, perspective, rather. Simon Cowell, who only made $90 million, made less than...
But
Tyler
higher.
Perry, but it's higher in list. He's number 9 on the list.
Okay.
John Bon Jovi is 8th on the list.
Wow. In 2010, yes. He was 8th on the list of most powerful celebrities. That's unbelievable when we think that his peak was back in the 80s.
One of the most successful touring musicians in America. $125 million he made last year.
That's shocking.
Taylor Swift is 7th.
Wow.
Have you seen her new video, by the way? Mean?
No.
Where she just bitches about people being mean to her and how she's bullied. Shut up.
Oh my God.
How is your life so hard? You've been rich and famous since you were 10. Why is everything so hard for you? Oh, boys are so cruel and they break up with you and people are mean and they're bullies. Shut up. You're hot and rich. Kill yourself.
This is the song that we made fun
God
of.
God damn her.
When the album came out, because it's just you don't want to cross Taylor Swift. She'll sing this about you.
All you are is pain.
That's the song.
She seems to be bitching quite a bit.
Someday
though,
I'll be bigger and you won't be able to pick on me. How much bigger do you want to be?
Wow.
You're 7th on the list.
That's annoying.
Tiger Woods is 6th. Can you believe that still?
Still. That's a surprise.
Elton John, 5th. U2, 4th. Justin Bieber, 3rd. Oprah Winfrey, 2nd on the list with her $290 million she made last year.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
Who do you think's number one on the list? Most powerful celebrity, according to Forbes magazine.
I don't... Donald Trump.
No.
No.
Good guess, but no.
You made a good guess, it's not the right one.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Casey.
I don't know.
Diddy.
No. A lot of guesses, people.
I don't know.
I recuse myself.
Bean knows. So
I don't want to be the one to get yelled at.
Carrot Top.
Contributing.
Lady Gaga.
It's not contributing when you know the answer. Lady Gaga is absolutely right, Kevin. Congratulations.
Well done.
Tell him what he's won, Bob.
Alex said it in my headphones, and I thought it was a joke. I thought she was giving me a joke.
No, Gaga, like, most powerful celebrity.
Right.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, makes sense.
She made $90 million last year.
Wow.
Yeah. Johnny Depp's 13th on the list. Ryan Seacrest is 24th on the list, and that makes you feel any better.
What about Seacrest making 60, what is it, 61 million?
Yeah.
What about that?
He's earned every penny. The guy's a genius.
I mean, the guy works hard, but I still haven't figured out what his talent is.
Freaking genius is what he is.
He is.
He can do it all. Drama, comedy, music, live performances, records, TV, film.
But you have to give him credit.
Director,
for taking
producer.
What he has and making that much money on it.
Yeah,
dude. I do.
That's
unbelievable.
Really do. Dude, in a world where Chelsea Handler's a star, anything is possible.
But at least Chelsea Handler is attempting comedy. She fails, but at least she's trying to do something. Seacrest isn't even trying to do anything.
He's attempting hosting.
He just stands there and just gets you from point A to point B.
He's given us the Kardashians.
That's true.
Well, there is that.
Where would we be without those lovely ladies? And their lady lumps. Some of them lumpier than others. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Chewbacca!
Yeah!
Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca in the Star Wars movies, 67 years old today. Pete Townsend. What? I said Pete Townsend!
Who?
He's 66 years old
today. Is he deaf? Is that
nice, beer mug. Deaf,
nice.
Dusty Hill of ZZ Top is 62 years old. Grace Jones is 59. Phil Rudd of AC/DC fame, he is 57 years old. And Boston Celtics forward Kevin Garnett is 35. Those Celtics are getting a little long in the tooth, aren't they?
They sure
are. They're getting a little creaky, a little older.
And they're watching the playoffs from home now.
Every year.
Makes me happy.
They're watching with the Lakers, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sitting in the same club.
I don't think they're sitting in the same club.
I think they are. I think there's a...
they all live together in the offseason.
There's a Yankee Doodles around the corner from Stapleton. I think they'll all hang out
there. Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have the Wheel of Bed Animal Voices. We
Excuse
also
me, what
have
happened,
Movie
huh?
Beat. We have a great feature called Movie Beat that Ralph does. I'm trying to bring him up, butter him up so he won't harp on the fact that we're doing the little bit of animal voices. We're going to try and get a Dr. Mo on the program tomorrow to find out how the King of Mexico can sleep through a movie in that location with that kind of noise.
Can't fall asleep in an IMAX 3D movie. You can't.
Listeners suggested to me that they seriously think he might have narcolepsy, and that might be something he wants to get tested, because it is unnatural to be able to sleep with the frequency and the depth that Dave is able to sleep.
Yeah, it's not sleeping, it's passing out.
He could be in any position, too.
He's not getting oxygen to his brain. That's the problem.
You could waterboard him, and he would fall asleep in the middle of it.
Tell us that he has dozed off driving, on more than one occasion?
Yes. He used to all the time.
That sounds like narcolepsy to me.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know, dude. And what are you going to do with your 24 hours left to live? As the weekend, Saturday, it's all over. So tomorrow, what are you going to do with your last 24 hours? What would you do, Rob?
What time Saturday? We figured out?
About 3 p.m. 3 p.m. West Coast.
Saturday afternoon?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you got a day and a half, maybe.
I hope you enjoy that conversation you have with the listeners tomorrow.
Starting tomorrow.
Because I'm not going to be here. If the world's ending on Saturday, am I going to spend Friday working?
He's got to go fly somewhere and get a haircut.
Yeah, that's true. That's and we've got your tickets to the Weenie
Roast. He's
got to
use his time wisely like he does.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.